about.
Well, it's Groundhog Day again, and that must mean that we're up here at Gobbler's Knob waiting for the forecast from the world's most famous groundhog weatherman, Punxsutawney Phil, who's just about to tell us how much more winter we can expect.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. Once again, the eyes of the nation have turned here to this tiny village in western Pennsylvania. Blah, 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 blah. There is no way that this winter is ever going to end as long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow. I don't see any other way out.
And now,
he's got to be stopped. And I have to stop him.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It is the 2nd of February.
I want to see that movie again. That's such a good movie.
Yeah, I was just thinking yesterday, that's really the only good thing that has ever come out of Groundhog Day. Right? The whole thing is stupid to me.
I'm no fan of the Groundhog Day either. Yeah, I'm not.
But that movie was good.
The movie was so good, and yeah. I'm very excited about the play that our friend Tim Minchin is behind that they're working on right now. And I think that's going to be awesome, too. The only thing, there's one other good thing that came out of Groundhog Day, right. And that is the porn parody Gobbler's Knob. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Oh, jeez.
It was very
you
sexy.
You started that,
wow.
Right?
Were you in that? No, just a fan.
Okay. Just a fan. Chip, how you feeling?
Besides Kevin trying to kill me this week, good.
How dare you?
Uh-oh.
Kevin did do his part, man. That's for sure. So then here's how does the endless cycle of people getting sick and working in enclosed rooms work? Because now Beer Mug comes in, and he's coughing up a lung mm-hmm. this morning.
Okay.
And it's good that he doesn't cover his mouth.
Not at all.
That's my favorite part.
He doesn't
at all? No.
No, he was spraying and not saying it. Muggs was. But so he was in the Chip death spot yesterday, and I just wondered if he picked up a little bit of that, and now it's just going to kind of recirculate around, and it goes back to Kevin, it goes back to Allie.
Now that we're all
Ralph.
Basically healthy
right.
except for Chip,
yeah,
it's on her
right.
now. Got a new
right.
ground zero.
Exactly. It does seem like it will never end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
Sucks.
Well, we got a big program for you today, and I want to start with this story. Perhaps you guys saw this out of Florida. This is a woman named Claudia Castillo. She is from Miami, and she's driving down the Dolphin Expressway in Florida on January the 29th, which is over the weekend. And she sees a police officer zip by her at what she thought was over 90 miles an hour. Now, when I see that on the road, I think that police officer is on official police business, and there are reasons sometimes why an officer does not want to alert the suspect ahead so you don't put on your lights and your siren.
That's my assumption. Something big is going down.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it's police doing police stuff is what goes on in my mind, and I'm not in the need to know, and I'm sure they're professional and they know what they're doing. Well, Ms. Castillo did not feel that way. She thought it was unsafe the way the police officer was driving. And she wanted to find out what the hell was going on. So she attempted to catch him.
Yes.
Nope.
On the highway.
Love it. Love it.
Good so
choice.
She started going faster and faster and faster and pulled up next to him and was flashing her lights and was honking her horn and was motioning for him to roll down the window. And he just kept on going. And she just kept on going. And eventually she got the officer to pull over.
What?
Yes. So the officer pulls over. She pulls over. Now she's rolling tape on her passenger side car window as the police officer comes up to speak with her. How do you think that conversation went?
You're under arrest for, I don't know. She had to be in trouble, right?
Maybe she said to him, do you know why I pulled you over?
That would be funny.
Yes.
So you think the lady who pulled the cop over is going to be in trouble, Kevin, because she was, what, in your mind, she was speeding and driving unsafely?
Yeah, or interfering with police business
right.
or whatever.
All right. And Allie, you think that the police officer is going to get a what for?
I think she sounds like the type that would be like, what are you doing? If she's already rolling on her camera.
Yeah.
She All sounds right. nuts.
Let's go to the tape.
The reason I pulled you over today and I'm asking you to come over and have a conversation is because I saw you since Miller Drive when you were first jumping onto the Palmetto.
Okay.
And you were pushing 90 miles an hour.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And because I was going right behind you, okay. and you passed me at, you know, I was going, what, 35 miles an hour down Miller. You passed me like I was standing still.
Okay.
Then after that, you got on the ramp, and we went past Bird Road. I pushed 80 to try and catch up with you, and you were still, I was still, you know, eating your dust. So you were leaving me behind, and I was going 80 miles an hour. And I just wanted to know, what's the emergency?
All right, what's the emergency, you guys?
Wow. Oh. He keeps saying, okay.
And she essentially did say the
yes.
reason I pulled
She's dressing
over.
Him down.
Oh.
What's
now,
the emergency?
Boy, see, what's the emergency?
I'm going to say he seems very level-headed at this point. So I think he's going to say I was on lunch.
That's why he was going 90?
Yeah, he wanted to get to lunch and get back to his shift.
Oh, you got to get those Chick-fil-A when they come right off the burger, man.
My guess is the fear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Full on, got to get someplace
yeah.
right now.
But if he's got the poopies, he's not going to pull over to come talk to this lady there. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, he is basically yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes,
he
ma'am.
He is.
Wow.
But he's also smart enough to know that he might be in the wrong and that he is on video with a citizen. And we have seen so often how poorly those things can go.
Right.
These encounters on the roadside. But so what's the emergency? Miss Castillo wants to know.
I don't know how fast I was going, but I can tell you this. I'm on the way to work right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I was speeding.
By the way, how awesome is that?
What?
I don't believe I was speeding. How many times have people behind the wheel said that to police officers and it never gets believed? He didn't believe he was speeding. She said he was going 90. How could he not believe he was speeding?
The thing that I've always been told is don't admit to speeding.
Mm-mm.
Just
mm-hmm.
say I'm not sure how fast I was going
right.
or I was keeping up with traffic, but never say I was going whatever miles per hour. Because when she said 80, she's breaking the law and she could get a ticket for
right.
that.
Right.
So,
but like I said, you're entitled to your opinion. I just saw you now when you pulled over next to me, which is why I pulled over here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had some kind of emergency or anything. Everything fine?
No, everything's fine. Yeah, it's your speeding.
Okay, well, I apologize, and I'll be sure to slow down then.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did she write him a ticket?
Right?
I don't think she's
I don't have a
right
ticket book, but I have a napkin, and I'm going to write you down, sir.
I will
wow.
try to slow down.
What?
So then the officer goes on, you need anything else? You need my my name or my badge number? She's like, nope, just be careful. So there you go. They end up, they parted as friends. So a happy conclusion to the story. But
you got to hand it to that officer.
Yeah, he handled it very well.
Wow.
He really did.
Why? Wow, that's insane. I guess he was thinking in his mind, if she's videotaping this,
yeah.
then and my people know there's no crime being committed or there's no reason for me to be speeding.
Right.
Wow.
The director of the Miami-Dade Police Department, Juan Perez, released a statement saying, we take all complaints seriously. In this case, the officer's chain of command will investigate the matter and take the appropriate course of action. But there's no word on whether there was any action. Not that there needs to be, but I thought it was interesting and funny that she had it on video.
Although the next time a police car drives by her with lights on and stuff, she's going to full-on just tail
yeah.
people and try and pull every one of them over after that success. That should go over well. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm a miracle. I'm a unicorn. I'm a f***ing needle in a haystack. And you're just some dumb hipster who's munching my hay.
We have the Bachelor Report today.
Yeah, we do.
Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. Ralph, it was on the After Bachelor Live.
Yeah.
Very excited. We have tickets for Bottle Rock Music Festival that's happening in Napa Valley. That's going to be pretty good. There's a great lineup there. So we've got those tickets coming up. As a matter of fact, we have that in the 6 o'clock hour. We have your Coldplay tickets for when they play the Rose Bowl on August 20th. And we'll put you in that drawing to see them in Rio de Janeiro. And a band is coming in studio. Cold War Kids will join us in the 7 o'clock hour this morning on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 551.
Woo! Television's Ralph Garman. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you so much.
Was your ultimate foe Olivia there last night?
No. Thank God she was not.
I know
married.
You were terrified of her.
She's the scariest woman on television.
At the beginning of the show, Ralph's like, she terrifies me. I'm very.
Yes.
I'm upset by her.
She's got those eyes and that giant mouth that hinges up and down. Her head opens up completely 360 degrees. And she's like, oh, I love him. I'm going to marry him. I'm your number one fan, Paul. She hobbled that guy with a hammer. It was awful.
I'm not sure that happens.
I know that we are going to speak about it later with Petros when we do the Bachelor Report. But overall, what was the experience like of doing the Bachelor Live with your friend Chris Harrison?
It was a blast. We had a great time last night. It was a great lineup. It was a weird lineup, but a great lineup. It was me, and then next to me was Michelle Collins, who is a very lovely, funny, funny woman. And then Lee Bryce, who is a country music performer.
Mm-hmm. Former American Idol winner, if I remember. Yeah.
He won?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. He's super talented. Really nice guy. And Lacey Chabert, who you know from Party of Five and Mean Girls, just could not be sweeter. So it was like this weird amalgamation of people. And Harrison, of course, was running the show. But we just all clicked and just hit it off so well. And I knew I was in good hands when Lee Bryce, they went around the room and said, we can get you a sparkling water or we can get you still water. What would you prefer? And Lee said, you have any Jack Daniels? I was like, I'm with that guy. So we ended up drinking Jack Daniels all night. By the end of the night, we're like, woo, Bachelor!
Well, that's the best advice for doing live nationwide TV. Absolutely. Is just to start drinking right out of the gate.
Chris,
right?
Harrison said to me, he said, this will not end well with you drinking Jack Daniels at this stage in the game. So,
and you met Ben.
And I met Ben, of course. Ben Higgins, the Bachelor himself.
Are you in love with him, too, like everyone else?
He's dreamy.
Really?
Wow.
He seems just dumb to me.
6'5", beautiful. Nice guy, loves football. We were talking. He lives in Denver, so we were talking Broncos and Panthers for this weekend's game, and just had a blast. So it was really fun. It was a really good time. Thanks to everybody over there at AMC, ABC. Like, they were great.
Can't wait to hear more about it later on today. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What else is going on?
Well, while I was off talking about shenanigans, real things were happening, like Charlie Sheen's doctor who cured AIDS.
Well, that should be big news.
I would think.
I'm sorry, what?
How did that not happen? How come that wasn't covered? Why are we talking about Marco Rubio last night instead of this?
Right?
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
Yeah. He is winning because apparently his doctor, Samir Chachoa, not licensed to practice medicine in the United States, is his doctor, and he has cured HIV.
Now, I would have thought we would have heard more about this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should open up a book once in a while.
I don't watch the news.
Because you're a kid.
Know, but
yeah, apparently if you drink the milk of arthritic goats.
Oh. Okay.
It destroys the HIV virus and protects people who drink it for life.
That's
the
all?
The doctor says. I've cured countries, he said. So all you have to do is find a goat who's limping, you know.
Sure.
Looks a little knobby around the knees. And then milk it. And then
that sounds reasonable.
And drink the goat's milk, and boom. Is it HIV gone?
Instantaneous? Like, you drink it just like a sip, and you're good? Or is there... Do we know?
Gosh,
She-Beam.
I don't know if there is a... how many cc's you need to ingest, but...
Hey, we're talking about the cure for AIDS.
Right?
I would think that's a good follow-up question.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I am not a scientist. No. I am merely a... an onlooker. Now, some medical professionals poo-poo this discovery.
Right. Ugh,
stupid medicine.
Like they do with all the greats, man.
With their doctorates and their labs.
They used to burn guys for suggesting that the Earth rotated around the sun, too.
Right.
Sometimes science is slow to keep up.
Look, B.O.B. still doesn't think it happens that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we're suckers, and B.O.B.'s got the answers.
Duh!
So this guy...
Some doctors say that a course of HIV medications continues to be the best treatment for those suffering from the virus, but not Dr. Samir. Just get yourself a wobbly goat.
So...
I did the wobbly goat last night.
Quite a move.
After the Bachelor Live.
I am confused by one point, Ralph, and that is Charlie Sheen is HIV positive. Was the doctor also HIV positive?
No. No, but to prove how much he believes in his cure, he injected himself with Charlie Sheen's blood.
Who's got AIDS?
I'm cured. I'm done.
He cured Charlie Sheen, and then he took Charlie Sheen's blood and injected himself with it to say, look, this blood is clean, and I'm not worried about being infected because the blood is tainted. It is not. It is clean and pure, and boom, look at me. Look at me. Somebody get me a goat, he said.
Well, it sounds like science then.
Right? Bean, you must have a goat up there, don't you? Don't you have a goat?
I used to. I don't have a goat anymore. He passed.
Was it a knobby? Was it a knobby goat?
I don't. He never really got arthritic. He was pretty spry till the end.
Too bad. So, could have made a fortune.
Oh, you could have been so rich. You had a creaky goat.
My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
Right. Do it. Right. Do the math. If you're Angelina Jolie, are you intimidated by Selena Gomez?
Nope.
Probably not.
Not even a little bit.
That's what I think. Sources are saying that Selena Gomez was flirting up a storm with Brad Pitt at the Golden Globe Awards, even posting pictures of him and her on Instagram. And according to this story, Angelina Jolie was furious with her husband regarding the apparent flirtation between the two. Yeah. They were in The Big Short together. Not in any scenes together, but they were both in that film, and apparently they were hanging out, and Selena was flirting, and Angelina Jolie was very upset about it. I don't think she sweats Selena Gomez in a room, does she?
No. Can't imagine.
I don't think so. I mean, for both of them, for Angelina and Brad Pitt, who've got to be around 50, right? She's a kid.
Right.
She's not a threat.
And by the way, wouldn't you assume
penis?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, penis is a good argument, too.
Wouldn't you assume most girls flirt with Brad Pitt?
Yes,
they run into him for any amount of time?
And she must see that all the time.
Yeah.
I don't see why Selena Gomez is a particular threat. And in a related story, there was a bit of a hullabaloo, if you will, outside Brad and Angelina's home this week. There was apparently a stalker in the bushes.
Ooh.
And that sent the security squad scrambling to find out who was actually lurking. Selena Gomez. No, I'm kidding. No. Turned out to be a homeless man relieving himself in the bushes.
Oh,
so all is well.
That's great.
Except, of course, for the security team.
Sure.
Because they had to see a homeless guy relieving himself. But just for all of everybody was worried, Brad and Angelina, or Brangelina, if you will, are fine.
Except for the Selena Gomez thing.
Except for that. Selena Gomez was relieving herself in the bushes? Today's celebrity birthdays. Dwayne Dog Chapman is 63 years old today. Singer Shakira is 39. And actress Gemma Arterton.
All right.
As lovely as she is talented, 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival. And we're going to do that coming up next with the hardest game in the world, too. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number you call. We will do the game right after the top of the hour.
The fourth annual Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival is happening this year, Memorial Day weekend. We are giving away trips all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, including right now, including airfare and hotel accommodation. This is a great lineup, you guys. This is Florence and the Machine, and this is Stevie Wonder, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Cold War Kids, and Death Cab for Cutie, and so much more. And we're doing it with a game we like to call the hardest game in the world, part two.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Mr. Announcer Man?
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Now, for our callers on the line, what do you mean when you say when you thought words were hard, wait till you tried music?
Well, the hardest game in the world is usually a name or a word backwards, and you need to identify it. Mm-hmm. But the hardest game in the world, too, is songs.
Yeah!
Well, that sounds like it'd be really hard.
We will play for you a song backwards, and you need to identify the song and artist. It's hard!
All right, so the hint is that all of these songs are going to be songs that are going to be played at the festival. Big songs by bands that are going to be appearing at the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival. Who is our first contestant, Kevin?
Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is James. He's from Lake Forest.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for Hardest right. Game 2?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, we need the artist and the song title for this. How could you figure that one out?
It sounds the same backwards as forwards. What is that, James?
It really does, and I know it, and I don't know it.
Ah, hello!
You want me out to dry?
What?
I don't know.
It's Florence and the Machine.
I guess I blew that one.
Dog days are over. Wow.
All right. Nice try. Well, this game is hard, you said, Mr. Nelson.
It's
Nelson,
not going to get any easier than that, that's for sure.
All right, who's next, sir?
Next up is Rob. He's from Riverside.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, K&B?
Good.
You ready for your song?
Yes.
Good luck. Pastor the Eden, what it is.
That's a beautiful sound right there.
That is nice. Band and song title, please.
Is it Under the Bridge or Hot Chili Peppers?
Close. It's Other Side. Other
Side. Oh. Hey, nice guess, though, Rob. Well played, sir. Sorry you didn't win.
Next up is Vera from Pasadena.
Hey, Vera.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
All right, you ready for your song?
I am.
Here you go. Good luck.
Dude, that is demonic.
That's Superstition by Stevie Wonder.
Yes, it is. Nicely done.
Mr. Nelson Man, do you believe that guy can really see in this whole thing as a farce?
No.
Okay. He's not an idiot.
All right. Well, some people do. Some people believe he's been faking me and blind all these years. I just want to check with you. Perhaps B.O.B. All right. Who's our next contestant, please?
Next up is Rose from Costa Mesa.
Hey, Rose.
Good morning.
We only have one winner so far. You ready?
Yep.
Here you go.
Dude. Mr. Nelson Man, this is hard.
It's the hardest game in the world. Part two.
No idea.
That was Death Cab for Cutie, the Ghosts of Beverly Drive. All right.
Rats. Okay.
One.
All right. So far, just Vera. Let's see who's next.
Next up is Brittany from San Dimas.
Hey, Brittany.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your song backwards?
Yes, sir.
Here you go. Good luck. Sort of prefer that one.
Another band that's going to be playing Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival. You title and artist, please.
Is it Cold War Kids? But I don't know the name of the song.
No, I'm sorry. That's Lumineers' Hey Ho or Ho Hey.
You belong. Reminds me. I have a dentist appointment to get my Lumineers replaced.
All right. I think we got time for maybe a couple more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Jeff from Garden Grove.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good. We told you the game was difficult. We've only got one person that's qualified so far. You ready?
I got one of them. Let's try.
All right. Here we go.
That one also sounds the same backwards as forwards.
Is it Ex-Ambassadors, Renegades? Oh.
Sorry, that's Cold War Kids first.
All right. What do you think, Mr. Nelson Man? One more?
One more. I have a good feeling about Monica in Los Angeles. I need a little Monica in my life.
Hey, Monica, you ready?
Shut up, Allie.
Yes. You ready for your song? Jeez. Backwards? Here we go.
Is that Ex-Ambassadors Renegade?
It is!
Nicely done.
Mr. Nelson Man, do you believe that guy is faking being blind?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
It's going to be either Vera or Monica. One of them will win a trip for two for Memorial Day weekend to Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival, including airfare and hotel accommodations to see a great lineup. By the way, you can still buy your tickets at BottleRockNapaValley.com. But Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Monica's going to Napa.
Monica! Yay! Congratulations, Monica.
Thank you.
Enjoy Napa, enjoy the wine, enjoy the music, and thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Once I was 7 years old,
Once I had a bad cold, my mama told me, go take your NyQuil and make yourself hot tea. Once I had a bad cold. I felt like crap, 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 and I was getting sicker. Don't want to be too graphic, but I was making a muddy river. Oh, please help me, I can't plug it, my butt's a big geyser. And so I'm hoping I can make something that looks like Snickers. Once my call was put on hold, my daddy told me, you'll be on hold for a while and be lonely. Once my call was put on hold.
Oh, oh, damn it, pick up the phone.
The cable company, so I started calling them to see what they could do for me, and they picked up the phone and said right back we'll be, but I was on hold for a long time, that's the point of this story. Once my house had mold, that's a story I got told, and I couldn't sell the house until it was mold free. Once my house had mold.
Mold? What are you talking about mold? I bought this house so I could flip it. No, you tell me I can't.
But this house is a failure because the mold, they tell me the repair is major. I have so many costs, we're talking supplies and labor. At least the guy across the street will make a good neighbor.
It's not how I remember that song, but all right.
All right, Omar. Nice job.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
1 hour from right now, by the way, the band Cold War Kids is going to be in studio with us. They played, of course, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas back in December, and they're playing this Bottle Rock Napa Valley Festival that we're giving away tickets for, so it'd be good to catch up with those guys. That's coming up. First, though, all good Americans should be rooting for Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl this weekend, I would imagine, right?
Nah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think everyone agrees. But a lot of people who want him to succeed just because of the storybook ending, right?
Yeah, storybook ending. Absolutely. Yeah, what a great way to go out winning another Super Bowl. So he'll have two, if I'm doing the math correctly, like his brother Eli Manning, who will also be in Santa Clara for Super Bowl 50. They are doing a ceremony in the pregame where they are honoring all of the living Super Bowl MVPs. And Eli Manning won two with the Giants, Super Bowl 42 and 46, so he's going to be there. But what a thrill it must be. Of course, you'd rather be there yourself. But to see your brother playing in the Super Bowl, how much fun is that?
Hello, how are you guys?
Eli?
Hello.
Hi, Eli. It's Kevin and Bean. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, I'm Eli.
Yeah, we were excited to hear that you had time to check in with us from Super Bowl 50 week. How are you?
I'm busy, I think, but I... Hi, hello.
Hey.
Who are you talking to, Eli?
I'm looking for the rest of my team. We have to practice. We are playing in the Super Bowl this weekend.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. You mean the Giants?
Hey,
no,
guys?
The Giants.
Well, guys, come on. I got a ball. Let's throw it.
Eli, the Giants aren't in the Super Bowl.
What? Hello?
Yes, the Giants. You did not make it. You're not in the Super Bowl this year. You're not playing.
Dumb.
I don't think you made the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
You're
come to think
dummy.
Of it,
I'm in the look in the paper. Manning,
right?
Manning versus Newton. But everybody's talking about it. Don't be a dummy head.
But it does say Peyton.
Yeah, it's Peyton Manning. It's your brother Peyton who plays for the Denver Broncos. He's in the Super Bowl. You are not in the Super Bowl.
Well done,
Eli.
Is that possible? Peyton's 111 years old.
He is old, but he's still playing.
Yeah, he actually is old.
Come on.
he's in the Super Bowl. Have you not?
He's in a home.
Have you not had a conversation with him this week?
Yeah, he said, I'll see you at the game. I was like, oh, thank you for rooting for your baby brother.
Yeah, that's it. It's the other way around. You're going to be rooting for your big brother this Sunday, actually.
Come on.
Now, Eli,
this is disappointing.
I bet it is. If you thought you were the Super
Bowl. It's not a good phone call.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We thought you knew. We figured you'd talk to Peyton by now about it.
Oh, but this is worse than that time I called that phone sex line.
Oh.
And got Alan.
Alan.
A guy named Alan.
Yeah, that's not what you expected. Wanted. Not what you were looking for?
Hmm. So, Eli,
but I just played last week.
You were in the Pro Bowl.
That was
yes.
the Pro Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
That's the
right,
All-Star game.
Pro Bowl, Super Bowl.
Right. The schedule is that mm-hmm. way, but nobody that plays in the Pro Bowl is going to be in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Those guys don't play in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. The Pro Bowl is for people who aren't in the Super Bowl, Eli. That's why you were there.
I have to have it. I need to talk to Coach Coughlin about this. Coughlin! where are you, Coach Coughlin? Coach Coughlin.
Is he there? He got fired.
Yeah.
He's not your coach anymore. He's not with the team anymore, Eli.
Woo!
Surprises for you on this phone call. We really apologize for that.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Right, sure.
You and me both.
Give me a little of that X-Files theme, would you please? We want to talk about the show, which is now halfway through its reboot. Episode 3 aired last night on Fox. By the way, so happy to see how good the ratings have been for the X-Files. People are really excited that it's back. And it was so weird tuning in for that first episode. It just felt so strange 13 years later to be watching The X-Files, but you soon forget about that and you're just happy it's on the air, you know? The first episode was kind of a welcome back. Let's get the gang back together, go out and fight the aliens. And then the second episode I thought was great. The one with all the kids with all the deformities and the yeah. creepy hospital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Vintage X-Files.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen last night yet, but Kevin, it sounds like you have some thoughts on it.
Well, Allie and Chip and I were texting back and forth. How excited are we? Rhys Darby, love
yes,
him.
Yes, yes.
Kumail Nanjiani, love him. They're
yes.
both
Agreed.
Starring in this episode. So let me just... So then it was the texting beforehand, and then I got angry. Because what was that? What was last night?
Awesome.
It was terrible.
Last night was Mulder and Scully meet the Weir Beast. And
right.
it was now, again, I haven't seen it yet, but it was... Like the X-Files does, it was a standalone monster mystery.
It was a monster hunt, Kevin.
It was goofy and funny and
okay.
awesome.
Clever,
right.
witty,
so
awesome.
Yes, but there's only 6 episodes this time, right?
So let one of them
six.
Be clever, witty, and awesome.
So 1 and 2, they find out that there are aliens on Earth. There is alien DNA. There's mm-hmm. that spaceship mm-hmm. that can fly using just Earth's energy. They don't have to put any fuel in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All
okay.
of that stuff is going on. At the beginning of episode 3, he's throwing pencils against the wall because he's so bored.
But the,
what happened?
But the original
he has
series.
All that information. That girl that has alien DNA
uh-huh.
and Scully has DNA from aliens, right?
But the series is like that all the time. They would do mythology, and then monster.
But they only have 6 episodes. I understand if there's 22 and this is episode 15, you can't do the important stuff every episode, but there's only 6.
I think there are going to be more than 6, but that still is not going to help you in this,
yeah.
right? There's going to be more than 6.
It's
I
not
think
that I
that.
Didn't like last night's episode.
Uh-huh.
I
sounds
I
like you did.
Yeah, you
no,
hated
no, no, no.
it, actually.
I'm getting a feeling.
Hold on. I hated it
uh-huh.
after 1 and 2 of the return. I felt like 1 and 2 were great and there was mm-hmm. a lot of positive energy. And then last night was just a 100% waste of time because we didn't get to any of the stuff that they had mentioned before. It was like none of it happened.
But is it a waste
Zero of, part of it happened.
Is it a waste of time, though, if you're getting classic X-Files back,
classic
which is what we
X-Files.
Wanted?
X-Files. So funny. They yeah. seem so reinvigorated last night. Like, they wanted to be there. The first couple episodes, which I loved.
Same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It felt like they were kind of going through the motions more so than ever.
They were
and
getting up to speed.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, okay, all right, we're there. Last night felt like they were genuinely stoked to be back, and it was awesome.
Yeah, super
Rhys
fun.
Darby couldn't have been better.
I
and
love
Kumail was awesome.
Oh,
I love
the
Kumail.
Best.
But so, spoiler alert. So...
Well done.
So what I'm saying, though, is when you come back for 6 episodes and there's 1 and 2 and it's all so full mm-hmm. of information and stuff that you can go on, all of a sudden it just is like it didn't exist. I swear this feels like an episode that I would have loved from the original series, you know, episode 16 of one of the seasons before. It just didn't fit with the first two of the first two episodes that came back. It just was terrible. I was so disappointed.
By the way, you are insane. If you want to weigh in, either for or again, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Were you in love with it like the girls were, or were you furious by last night's episode of The X-Files like Kevin was? Because the online chatter was through the roof. People adored it, that episode last night, especially because there were so many callbacks to things that had happened previously in the
X-Files. Yeah, they
put a
lot of that little stuff in there, the Easter eggs or whatever.
Easter eggs that people love.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you got to see Duchovny in a Speedo. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Right.
And Jillian sort of undressed, let's be honest. Who didn't want to see that?
Right.
Watch that in slow motion a couple of times. But I'm just saying the overall episode. The overall episode was as if 1 and 2 never happened.
But again, that's the whole show. You would be disappointed if they came back and all 6 episodes were one story that they were following from start to finish.
No, because here's how I feel. Episode 1 and 2 of this series was actual answers for the 9 seasons or however long it was on before.
Mm-hmm. They're going to go back to that.
Yeah, look at
that.
And then guess what? Episode 3, you got a monster hunt.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Monsters. The best. It was so clever and so engaged. I loved it so much.
It reminded me of an episode. I was telling Ellie about this. I think like season, I don't know, 5 or 6. Like there's an episode where Mulder thought this teenager was a vampire.
Right.
And he kills him. And then they both have, you see Mulder's point of view of the story.
Right.
And then Scully's point of view. And super goofy. Like that episode reminded me of that. And it was awesome.
Isn't one of the things we all loved about The X-Files the humor of the show?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
And you got none of that in episode 1 and 2.
Right.
None of it.
And
there was nothing funny about it.
And you got a lot of it in episode 3. I agree.
So much.
But if it's 3rd of 6, now all of a sudden I'm like, well, let's not waste time with looking for a guy that bit a lizard man and then he turns him human and the lizard man is upset. I mean, what was that?
See, right there, if I'm listening and I didn't watch it, I'm in. I'm so in.
All right, let's take a couple of calls just real quick to see where you guys weigh in on this. Let's try Augustine line 2, please. He is up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about last night's episode 3 of the revamped, rebooted X-Files. Augustine, you saw the show. What'd you think?
I thought it was amazing. I loved their energy. Like it was so great. The energy that they had, and when they related to the fact that they could actually go back, and that we have to basically believe in mythology, that there's something greater out there. Because if you didn't really believe in that, what's the point of existence?
Right, but there's something greater out there was overwhelming in episode 1 and 2, and just disappeared in last night's episode. Gone.
I don't know. It was. I mean, I get that you feel like it was like a filler episode, but I loved just like their energy. It was like a throwback to all the previous episodes. Like I'm young. I'm like X-Files is like my family's show. But I got into it. I started watching like all of it on Netflix, and I'm just it's a throwback to like the original series.
No, I get the throwback.
Didn't it feel Augustine like they were so happy to be there? Like this was the episode really that they love filming.
Dana Scully saying how this is the old Mulder she loved.
Yep.
Like that. I loved it.
I high-fived the screen. That's the Mulder I love.
You high-fived the
screen.
Yes. I'm not disagreeing with you that they finally had a sense of humor and that all of that stuff came together, but I'm saying last night I expected part 3 of the energy that 1 and 2 started. There's actual stuff that needs to be looked into.
Who's writing the show, Kevin? Is it Kevin Ryder?
It should be.
No,
Apparently, last night it should have been.
Augustine, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it.
Augustine, I'm down as agreeing with me. Thank you for the call.
I appreciate it. So, Kevin, if they now go back at episodes 4 and 5, say, or 4 and 6, whatever they decide to do, and they continue to follow that storyline and answer questions to your satisfaction, when you look back on the 6 episodes, you'll be overall happy with them then, as long as they answer those questions for you, right? In other words, in retrospect, you won't mind this if it ends up not impeding the progress of your story.
I would guess so, but I don't understand how episodes 1 and 2 are just irrelevant in episode 3. That's my problem.
I think those things are still going on. They're just not actively working that case for that few hours that they're chasing the monster man, I think. I think that the bigger case is still out there, still on their desk.
You didn't see it at the beginning of it. Mulder is bored out of his mind because he's throwing pencils at the wall. He's like, man, this sucks. All of these old cases we've gone through and they can all be explained away. It was not tied in any way to episode 1 and 2.
Let's see what Marisol has to say. She's on line 1. She's in Long Beach and she joins us up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Marisol.
Okay, great. Hi.
Hi there.
I'm a longtime watcher.
and I have all the seasons on DVD, and me and my husband were looking forward to watching it. I thought it was just, no, I didn't know. I agree with Kevin. I was so upset. I was like, what the hell?
Look, I was like, here's how I would say it. I would say that I was 100% disappointed by last night's episode for this season. Having said that, everything you guys are saying is right. They had a better sense of humor. It was lighter.
Right,
all that
right.
stuff. But it just it missed me 100% for this season.
It wasn't what you were expecting.
Not at all.
Thank you for the call, Marisol. We really appreciate it. Jessica writes in, by the way, and I don't know if this, if you guys will agree with this or if this is too harsh, but she says that Kevin should die in a fire.
Agreed.
I think that's harsh, but in this instance, yes. Do we have time to go to line 8?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think he can be very helpful.
All right. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? I don't think Kevin should die in a fire, but I do think he's never been more wrong in his life.
Oh, please, I've been more wrong a lot of times.
okay, I'll give you that. I think what happened is that because there are 6 episodes, maybe you felt like there was going to be sort of a mini-series aspect to this.
Of course.
It's going to be mythology. Okay, I understand
6
that.
Episodes feels like a short storyline. You got to really make every second count. And last night, although everything you're saying about them being funny and all that was true, it didn't fit into the 6 episodes.
The connection between episodes 1 and 2, though, was very, very loose, though. They weren't, I mean, aside from government conspiracy, 2 didn't really have that much to do with 1.
Now, well, they found out that, that aliens really landed. They found out that we have alien technology. They found out that there was a woman with alien DNA, and Scully had alien DNA. That seems like there's a lot to go on.
The first one, yeah, they had a lot to leap off of. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is more going to be, as you found out last night, a microcosm of the larger seasons that we were used to.
So you're saying what Bean is that if episode 4, 5, and 6 return to the main story, that I'll be perfectly happy with 3?
What Chris Carter, maybe, if looking back, I don't know how you're going to feel, but Chris Carter said that episode 1 and episode 6, sort of bookending, will deal with the mythology. I don't know, I can't speak to 4 and 5, but at least you know it's going to end the way it started.
All I know is we live in a world where there's a TV show in prime time on a network with a werewolf and a porta potty. That's what I love about the X-Files.
So I'm going to put you down as agreeing with me now.
Nope.
Thank you.
Nope.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Got tickets you can win to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl later on this morning, just around 9 o'clock. And the band Cold War Kids is going to be in studio with us next half hour. First, though, fresh off his appearance on The Bachelor Live on ABC last night, here's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
Woo! So, Allie, you didn't watch, right?
I did watch.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Not The Bachelor. I watched Bachelor Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bean, I know you didn't watch.
I did not, no.
Kevin came in today and said, I tried to watch, but then Miss Piggy showed up. I can't watch Miss Piggy.
That was a deal breaker for me.
I loved it.
I'm like, look, Ralph could be funny right now, and they're talking to Miss Piggy.
But
she was hitting on Ben.
On for like 15 seconds.
Ugh.
You couldn't wade through 15 seconds of Miss Piggy?
No, and I had recorded
couldn't
it,
wait
too.
Till you get to the other side?
I had recorded it, too, so I could have fast-forwarded, but I was just like, come on now. That's what I was like. I was
so
like,
that was the hurdle you couldn't leap over.
Did you hear the last break, Kevin? I was like, no time for any nonsense.
Apparently, no.
I need to get to the good stuff.
He's just whittling his entire world down to just plot points.
Let's stop wasting time.
You need the Cliff Notes version of everything in your
life.
That's
very true.
I did love how you and Michelle had very similar snarky attitudes about the show. Like, you didn't take it too seriously.
We hit it off.
And then Lacey couldn't have been sweeter and just wanted to see the goodness in all of the contestants. I wanted to hug her neck so hard.
She is so earnest and sweet.
Love.
And Lee Bryce, also from American Idol, the country music performer, he was also taking things very seriously.
Yes.
Like, I think you should be with her because she is a single mom. You know, her priorities are straight. It's The Bachelor, people! Come on! You know how I knew Bean didn't watch?
How?
No, it says, because Chris Harrison, at the beginning of the show, said, you can hear him every morning on the world-famous K-Rock. Here he is, Ralph Garman. And I knew if Bean had seen that.
Yeah, that would have been a high point for him.
Can you imagine hearing about a radio station that he works at?
He would have been very excited.
I knew that the radio
when they said the world-famous K-Rock, I thought so, too. I was like, Bean just had an orgasm.
I thought it would be just in a loop all morning long. We'd be hearing that.
Yeah.
I knew. No pay attention from him.
You're talking about the mention of the Kevin and Bean show on The Bachelor Live last night?
No, the station, world famous K-Rock.
Oh, I see. No love for Kevin DeMena.
Oh, my God. Chris, is that what you're focusing on?
You can hear him every morning on the world famous K-Rock, Chris Harrison said last night.
So, but you put in a plug for Kevin DeMena since you were on TV, right? You took advantage of that opportunity to
Why are you such a shout out
to your voice.
Why are you such a baby?
Oh, my God.
I didn't see the show. I'm just asking. I'm asking if you put in a shout out for Kevin DeMena.
Like, when Chris Harrison said on the world-famous K-Rock, Ralph should have said, by the way, it's the Kevin DeMena show,
wait a
Chris.
Minute. Give me 20 seconds here of this live television show to do a little promo, won't
you? I
gotta
be honest, that didn't enter my mind. I was like, hey, that's cool, they mentioned the radio station. Who gives a crap?
Okay. All right.
He's disappointed by the mention. I thought he would be excited.
I said to them, make sure, you know, let's mention K-Rock. Let's give K-Rock some love. And Chris is like, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to work it in. So I thought, here I am doing the right thing.
Well, that's very nice, Rob.
Oh, F you.
You can't do the right thing enough.
I mean, it wouldn't have killed you to, you know, just a plug for the show you've been on for 17 years.
I did
just
plug the show I've been on mention. 17 years. Telling people to listen every morning on the world-famous K-Rock. I thought it was a plug.
Yeah, that was a plug. That was a good plug, and it was fine.
Thank you.
We're all happy with it.
Thank you. Right.
Including Dean. He just doesn't know it.
This is like dating Black China working on this show. That's what it's like. Just headache after headache after headache. There are more details about her arrest last Friday at the Austin International Airport. I don't know if you heard the story or not, but she was flying to, I guess it was London?
Yeah.
That's where she was headed anyway, but they had to stop in Austin and, you know, they had to, you know, stop so that she could be arrested because of her behavior. Details are coming out, and it turns out that she became verbally aggressive to a bartender that wouldn't serve her enough booze.
Wow. What's the rules on that, Ralph? The bartender has responsibility to cut people off?
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to. Here's the technical thing. You're not supposed to serve anyone who is visibly intoxicated.
Oh, is that right?
Can you imagine if you lived by that rule of thumb?
It wouldn't be possible.
You'd never serve a drink to anyone. So usually you really, for someone to say, you know what, you're cut off, you really have to make an ass of yourself.
Wow.
You have to, like, demand a better plug from a guy on a TV show for a bartender to say, how drunk are you? That kind of behavior has to be shown. And then cops found two ecstasy tablets in her sunglass case.
Oh.
And they claim she was passively resistant during the arrest. So she just became dead weight and she forced them to drag her.
Like a really? Needle? Like a little, like a 2-year-old?
Yes, like it was a sit-in. She was trying to ban all nukes and they had to drag her away. She's magical.
She's a mess.
Yeah, she's the best.
You got a problem, lady.
Then her boyfriend, Rob Kardashian, Sock King Rob Kardashian, drove to Austin to pick her up in his Bentley to pick her up and drive her home. It was like an 18-hour trip or something. They're the best.
What about decisions?
Wouldn't it have been much faster for her to just sober up and catch a later flight home?
Sure, but that wouldn't have been nearly as inconvenient for Sock-King Rob Kardashian.
Okay,
so what's
right.
the point? What's the point if you can't inconvenience someone with your bad behavior?
Sure.
Yeah. Like I always said, the Kardashian family and all that surround them, if it wasn't for the money, if that car was an Acura instead of a Bentley, and it would have been a Greyhound bus that had to pull over instead of a jet to London, you would be looking at just a white trash. It would be an episode of Cops.
That's true.
He would show up in a wife beater, and she would be the cops would be dragging her out, and she'd be like, I don't look at my sunglass case. It would be an episode of Cops.
You're right.
They're just white trash with money. That's all those people are.
I wonder if Rob Kardashian got in on the astronaut diapers on his quick drive to Austin. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah, because when you got to go. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Gemma Arterton is 30 years old today.
Hey, don't we have a moment with that involves Kevin and the
not being able to say the word?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Or even the word name, yes.
No, we don't have that, but the name we do have, yes.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
name. Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, most of you don't know the joy of doing that while looking into the eyes of
who you're talking about.
I can't say your name.
Like news.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So much worse.
I think it's second only to my other favorite interpersonal moment with which was Kevin talking to Gary Cole. Legendary character actor Gary Cole. Just, he's done everything. He's just, he's brilliant. He's awesome. And I'm a huge fan, and I went through a litany of his work, and I presented him. I said, ladies and gentlemen, here's what he's done, and here he is, Gary Cole. And Kevin said, do we have that? Do we have that moment?
We don't have that, unfortunately, no.
Kevin said, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
Yeah. That's verbatim.
Said it to his face.
No! That's verbatim, yes.
You're a guy who I don't know your name.
Yep.
And you had listed Office Space and Veep and just everything that he had done. I mean, comedy legend. That didn't come out well.
Were you trying to say, I know your face from all these things, but I didn't know
your
name?
I'm sure.
Oh,
yeah, I don't.
Okay.
You know, come on.
Right.
I'm not going to try to defend
Kevin.
It. I know. Thank you.
Dwayne the Dog Chapman is 63 years old today, and singer Shakira is 39 years old. I heard.
Don't.
Nope.
Don't.
Nope. No, sir.
I heard they were going to...
Nope.
No.
I heard she was also in trouble with the law. She had a run-in.
Right.
Police at a recent concert had to give her legs a polygraph test. Hmm. Would she pass with flying colors?
Why?
Because it turns out...
Come on.
Her hips don't lie!
What is going on?
You people.
Bah!
Tune in every morning at the world famous K-Rock, aren't you? I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show is me.
The band Cold War Kids joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. And don't forget, keep listening at 9 o'clock this morning for your chance to win Coldplay at the Rose Bowl August 20th and be on the standby boarding list to see the band in Rio de Janeiro. Your second home, Kevin.
Yeah. That's
Rio.
That's my peeps.
Hey, pajamas are having a moment right now.
Yes, they are, Bean.
No, they really are. I'm seeing a lot of stories that involve people wearing pajamas in public in the news. I can't remember where it was I saw last week, but there was a college that started cracking down on students showing up in pajamas, which has been very popular for a long time. Yesterday, I saw a story of a judge in Pennsylvania who put a sign in the lobby of his courtroom saying that pajamas are not appropriate attire for district court. He says, we have a growing problem of people not dressing appropriately for court. I put it out there as a reminder of the code of conduct that should be followed with appearing in court. So he is putting down the law on that, saying no more wearing pajamas to court. Because we live in a world now, you guys, where anybody can show up at anything in pajamas.
Right, yeah. But that's before you knew about the business pajamas or the bammies.
Oh.
Business jammies.
Say what?
They look like clothes, but they're not. They're pajamas.
You're telling me
who's
I can
in?
Wear bammies to work and no one
yes.
will know I'm still in my jammies?
That's what I'm telling you.
So these are clothes that look like dresses and suits and things like that, but they're made out of pajama material.
Yes, again.
That seems somewhat genius, doesn't
right?
it?
Bammies.
I mean, if they can make it look like not pajamas. Like, in other words, they don't have prints of rubber ducks on them or something like that.
Right, it's not just, like a SpongeBob
right,
dress.
It looks like business clothing. How many times?
But if it's, like, comfortable and
right?
it's still businessy,
right.
like that.
It's not going to have a rubber duck on it if you can wear it to work.
Why are you so mad?
Because we've explained the bit now, like, four times. He has to keep going back to establish that it doesn't look like pajamas. No, it looks like business clothes.
So these are... You would say they're business pajamas?
Yes!
They're called bammies?
Yes!
That you can wear from your home office to the boardroom, it says here.
Dear God.
All right, well, let's find out about the bammies. We have a designer of the product, Jean-Claude St. Clair, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Mr. St. Clair. How are you?
I'm already so bored with you.
I'm sorry. I apologize. We just were trying to understand what we were talking about
you're
here.
The worst people I've ever heard in my life in my ear holes.
Well, I apologize for that. We didn't mean to get off to a bad start.
Oh, my God. It is so painful to listen to all of you. Blah, 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 blah. The rubber duckies.
So let's put it in your own words then. What are the...
Okay, you go ahead and put it in my words.
Well, I'm asking you if you could just describe for our listeners what your interpretation of the business pajama is.
It is a wonderful...
I'm sorry, what?
Wait for the end.
All right.
Don't be jumping in mid-word and say, what?
Okay. All right. Go
it
ahead, sir.
It is wonderful to have a... What?
It's wonderful to have?
Yes, to have.
To have, okay.
Okay.
Omar, shut up.
Who? What?
Omar, my assistant Omar, who helped me design all the clothing. It is wonderful to have a clothing that you can sleep in.
Right.
And then you get out of your bed and you go directly to your job.
Oh, okay.
So you sleep in these and then go to your
pajamas.
Job?
Of course you sleep in them.
So they don't wrinkle, though? They don't look like you've slept in them all night?
No, because I have invented a revolutionary fabric that will not wrinkle.
A what? A revolutionary
fabric.
Fabric.
Yeah.
Okay.
That will not wrinkle.
Will not wrinkle.
It will not stain.
It will not stain.
It will not stain.
Stains.
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank God for the woman.
Yeah, we need subtitles for the radio.
It will not stain.
Stain.
And it will not smell in any way bad.
It won't smell bad.
Smell bad. Why would it smell bad?
Because you can wear it for weeks and weeks and weeks on the end.
Oh, yeah. No, that's that.
And your body odor.
Odor.
Body odor.
Body odor.
Body odor, right.
Will not be carried by the fabric.
Okay, but there's no reason to wear bammies for weeks and weeks and weeks. You should still change your clothes if you're a
person. How lazy are you want to get?
Well,
if you're going to be lazy enough to wear your pajamas to work, why? What makes me think you want to change clothes?
Yeah.
Change what?
Clothes.
Claws?
Clothes.
Close.
What you wear.
Close. Okay.
I see. Okay. All right.
We're working on an entire line for the lazy business person.
Okay.
We've got Shoopers.
Shoopers.
Yes. They are slippers that look like shoes.
Okay.
That you can wear with the bammies.
Okay. I like it.
Your bammies and then slip into your Shoopers.
Shoopers.
Why not?
And then we also have the Dundies.
Oh. Nope,
Dundee.
I don't love it.
Wait, you will.
Okay.
Dundies.
Yes.
Are a mix of undies and diapers.
Oh. Yeah.
So when you put on your bammies, before you put them on, you put on the Dundies first.
Right.
So it takes away all the uncomfortable ordeal of having to use a toilet.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, can't you just wear?
Oh, wow, Mr. St. Clair. Yes. Nobody needs this. Okay. I believe we're out of time.
If I can just butt in, it's pretty impressive right now.
All right.
I mean, really.
Thank you for your time, sir. We'll let you get to it. Holy moly.
I mean, really, this might be a world record.
Luckily, they come in extra large.
Was there a Muppets love connection going on in the studio right now between Allie and members of the Cold War Kids?
Yeah.
Is that what I just heard?
Matt the bassist loves Fozzie.
He's my favorite.
Yes.
Waka waka.
Well, Fozzie's pretty strong. Hey, Matt. Hey, Nathan from Cold War Kids. How are you guys?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we kind of sort of rubbed shoulders with you briefly at Weenie Roast last year, I think, and Acoustic Christmas, I think. You played them both, if I remember correctly.
Played them both.
Now, is that a big deal for y'all being local?
Totally.
Or playing those shows, is that something you think about when you're starting out?
Big time.
Did we think about it starting out? I don't know if we ever knew that we'd become what we are when we started out.
I think we would joke about it, but not actually.
That seems
very
far away. But yeah, it's amazing. It's so rad to do. It feels like growing up in L.A., Orange County, playing shows like that. It feels like a connection to the bands that we loved growing up.
Who did you come on after this year? Was it Panic at the Disco?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
and then Chris Cornell after us. Yeah.
Because they really tore it up.
And they did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Crazy epic show. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I would hate to be the band after them. Yeah. Oh, Cold War Kids. And then you guys came out and rocked it and did perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Not an issue. Is it an issue sometimes? Have you opened for bands where...
We opened for Metallica one time. That was an issue.
And do you get from the fans, hey, we're here to see Metallica. How about you guys?
Oh, man. Yeah. That was the worst case scenario. I think we were in Belgium. And there was just angry rockers in the front row that were just snarling.
Or their backs to us.
Just disgusted by
they
how
they turned around.
Really? Literally had their backs to us. All Metallica shirts. Yeah.
Who
That's when you realize
you're not hard.
You're not hard rock.
Yeah, well.
You're just a bunch of weenies on stage.
Who thinks
guys.
To turn around? I mean, that's a weird protest.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
You guys have played Lollapalooza a lot throughout the years. Who have you had to come on after that's been, like, surreal or weird for you?
After. Who do we play after this year?
Well,
Alabama Shakes played after us this year, and that was really fun to watch.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Sir Paul.
Oh, yeah.
After them.
That hack.
That was wild.
Yeah. Now, when Paul McCartney's running around backstage, does every act on the bill want to meet him and get a picture?
Yeah, I think he's not even back there. He's in a hotel somewhere and gets helicoptered
in. Helicopter
man,
yeah.
Did you guys run into him or no?
No.
Watched him. I couldn't get on stage. I tried. Yeah,
you tried to get on stage as one of the playing bands from that Lollapalooza.
You do, could get on stage, yeah.
You do like press before the festival, and just everybody wants to know, are you going to meet Paul? But when you're actually in the moment and you like have to find a bathroom and you have the wrong wristband and everybody's telling you to get out of the way, you're just a nothing. You know, just like I can't get in anywhere.
Nathan and Matt are here from Cold War Kids here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They got a lot of stuff coming up, including the Bottle Rock Napa, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I want to go back a little bit. When you look back on this journey of the last 12 years or so, has it been incredibly difficult, or has it been the type of thing that has been so incremental that it has always seemed doable every step of the way to get to this point?
That's a really good question. A really deep one. I think it's funny
every day.
We've been in the studio working on this next record, and Guy Lars, who's producing it, we just went in this deep dive of talking about – he grew up in Tustin. I grew up in Anaheim. We were talking about just all these bands that we grew up listening to, and Showcase Theater and Chain Reaction, all where we – you know, going to see shows and – and the little bit that our band played by there, but there was a major, like, you know, kind of disconnect of kind of the music we grew up with around 2002-03 by the time we started our band. And we had lived a lot of life before. Moss and I went to, you know, we graduated from college. We were a little bit older in the start of the band and had worked jobs. And so by the time we started, I think we had already had kind of a perspective of like, okay, you know, if we can do... If we can do just enough to live a good, like an okay life,
yeah,
I don't know.
Or do enough to stay young, I think. Because, like, we had graduated college for maybe even 2 years before we even started playing. Like,
That's sort of as big as you can dream, is just to pay the bills, make a living, and be happy and feel
very
young.
Very moderate, you know, sense of like, I mean, how much did we pay for that house in Whittier?
We paid $800 for four of us, and we had our practice space too.
And it was just a.
Yeah.
Oh no! It sounds
a
like a mansion.
Time in life. It was awful.
And you look back on that now, though, and it feels like the greatest time of your life, right?
Absolutely. I mean, totally. We had a great scene of friends coming around that were like, you know, we had built in all of our friends coming to our shows, so it was like, it was a scene, you know, and that really was the best time.
I apologize for the broadness of my question, but I'm just so fascinated with bands that make it, because as you know, and a lot of the bands that you grew up watching are no more. The bands don't last forever, and a lot of bands they just get to a certain point and they fall apart for lots of different reasons. But you guys have made it and are, you know, haven't even peaked yet, I feel like, and you've been so incredibly prolific. I mean, hundreds of songs, it seems like, over the years. Have you ever run into an artistic wall?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think for me, it's like a balance of, I think I was very timid early on about, just being ambitious, I guess. And I think, you know, we just always had weird friends making music and just kind of hustling, playing shows and going on tour and feeling it out as we went along. And, I mean, you know, we've had dips.
Yeah.
We've had moments where it's, you know, what the hell are we doing? And, And I think, you know, really some of the best times, I guess, are like, I think the fourth record, Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, was like a real moment of like, we had this period where we did that record, and then Moss and I did this side project with our friend Nathan Workington, this project called French Style Furs. We put that out, and then we did this next Cold War Kids record, Hold My Home, all really in the course of like a year and a half.
Yeah, it was really
And it was just
quick.
Like this, we were always on tour, we were always working, and it wasn't because we had more attention, it was just because we had this renewed, like, kind of love of what we were doing, mm-hmm. And it was very, yeah, it was very, like, it just got fun again. And
yeah, that's great.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but it did.
Yeah.
What do you think Cold War Kids of 10 years ago would think about the music that you're making now? Is it something you ever would have predicted you would have turned into?
It's funny. I mean, I definitely, my opinion about, like, pop music in general has changed so much, and we talk about it all the time, like, it's probably so common, but like, you know, when we started out, we're listening to the Velvet Underground and Captain Beefheart and, you know, all these things that are like, that we didn't really sound like, but we just thought we were. And now it's like, I want to talk about what's happening now. I don't just want to sit around and have a big philosophical conversation about Bob Dylan every night, right? I'm like, pop music is fascinating. It's interesting. It's the most creative music that is out there right now is a lot of what's on the radio. And that's a new realization for me, I think. So that's what keeps me going now.
What's it like for you guys to be on the radio now and on, you know, big pop stations playing next to Selena Gomez records? Is that weird?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. It's totally weird. Yeah.
Totally weird. Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. I haven't got used to it yet.
But you want people to hear your music. I mean, wherever people are going to play it, I imagine you're happy, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I walked into Starbucks yesterday and I came on and that was surreal. I looked around at the people in the line and they had no idea that I knew something they didn't know.
But they still got your name wrong in the cup, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it really is a fascinating time though for pop music. I think that like certain, like, very niche, like, EDM kind of thing is, like, coming down some. I think it's very more, like, song-oriented than it's been in forever. And I think it's, like, there's a certain way to look at it where it's almost like, you know, Selena Gomez or Arctic Monkeys or whoever, is it a good song? And is it, you know, it's not as hidden by, you know, effects and tricks as it has been in the past. I think it's a really good time, you know? And yeah. I think, like, you know, Selena Gomez... song is, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's when you kind of strip away some, you know, pop bias and you can just go, this is a great song. You know, right.
That's what Ryan Adams was all about with that Taylor Swift cover album too, which is just to say, forget the production that you may hate on the radio, strip it back down to the songs and these are actually pretty good.
Right. It's a very optimistic way of looking at it, and I like that.
Cold War Kids are here. Nathan and Matt from the band. We'll talk about Bottle Rock when we come back. We'll talk about the Fleetwood Mac tribute show that's coming up. That sounds fascinating. And I know you guys are working on some new music. We'll get into that a little bit more with the band right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Long Beach in the house this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nathan and Matt from Cold War Kids are in studio. You can follow them on Twitter at Cold War Kids, website coldwarkids.com. And you're playing the Bottle Rock Napa Festival coming up. This is the fourth year in a row they've done it. Memorial Day weekend. We gave away some tickets earlier this morning already. These festivals, there are so many of them now. You could really just do them every weekend across this country of ours, couldn't you?
It'd be a great life.
It would be a great life. You'd see every band in the world. I mean, you're going to go that weekend and you're going to, hey, there's Stevie Wonder. Here I am. Yeah. You know, it's going to be fun.
I mean, that's a great life.
Do you stick for this particular festival, do you stick around and see some bands or do you try to do that when you're playing festivals or do you just have time, energy?
Oh, you know, it just depends on what's before and after. And yeah.
Big wine drinkers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this could go south.
Yeah.
What is this festival like to play?
I haven't been to this one.
Yeah, I've never been to this one.
But it's Napa. I'm sure it's going to be nice. Yeah. We just played another festival in San Rafael.
Yeah, I've always liked the wine-themed festivals for various reasons.
Is the audience mellow?
I'm sure they would be.
Yeah.
Geographically.
Yeah. It's going to be No Bad Days Festival.
Yeah. And the Fleetwood Mac thing that I mentioned that's coming up, too. The Fleetwood Mac Tribute Fest is happening, and that's going to be just in a couple of weeks, right? That's going to be at the Fonda in February.
Yeah.
And you guys are on that lineup. That's a crazy idea for a show. So how does that work? Does everybody pick a Fleetwood Mac song, and you call dibs on which one you want to play, or is it not like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The guys who do it, it's called Best Fest. We did another one for a George Harrison thing, and it's a benefit for musicians, and the guys who run it are also the musicians, and they are phenomenal, you know, at just whoever from your band wants to get in, they'll fill in the holes, and it's like, it's really, really too easy. It's great.
And you get to play on stage with people that you've never played with before. I mean, it's a jam, right?
Yeah, it'll be some of us, some of them, and yeah, a bunch of people kind of jump up on each other.
Is that easy or difficult, or is it different with each person?
It's kind of as easy or difficult as you make it. If you kind of, like, I know the song. I mean, there's a teleprompter.
Right.
If you need it, you know. So it's like, I think it's a little karaoke-like, you know, so it's not hard.
Are you guys big Fleetwood Mac fans, or how did this even come about?
Actually, our guitar player, Dan, I was in the room with him when we were, got asked about it, there's an early Fleetwood Mac song that we're going to play that, you know, I think it's still a little more like 60s rock and roll, mm-hmm. soul.
Peter Green years.
Yeah. When it was all boys in the band. That's the era our song is from.
Before the chicks ruined it, right? Am
yeah.
I right?
Oh, wow.
Before they made them popular.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. That's coming up at the Fonda Theater on February 9th and 10th. Let's talk a little bit about Hold My Home, which I'm sure for you guys, you know, you've lived with those songs for a long time, wrote them, recorded them. Now you've been out playing them. It probably feels old to you guys, but it is the current record that's out there.
Yeah.
Are these songs still, I mean, are you still loving playing them?
Yeah, very much. I mean, it is now, like, I've been in the studio for last month or more, and we have a lot going on, so it's definitely in the next space, and we this is actually the longest that we've not put out a new thing. So it feels a little far back, but it also, the craziest thing about it is just how first was the second single from the record, and it was really over a year, I think, by the time, you know, but yeah. When we started seeing this
That's
thing
nice.
Of everybody kind of saying, like, hey, this song could actually go into the number one of alternative radio, and it was like a year or something after we put it out. So, it was incredible.
Isn't that crazy? And it did, by the way. Congratulations on your first number one
Thank
record.
Thank you, yeah.
Is that when you write a song like that, and now, of course, it's a big hit, and we all go, of course, it's a big hit. But did you know there was something different or special about it, or that it had the likelihood to succeed as a single?
I think it was the old classic story where we had finished the record. We had a few songs that were like, let's finish these while we're at it. Could be some good B-sides. Moss and I were carpooling to the studio a bunch, and he kept saying, like, hey, there's that one song. You should finish that. And I was like, ah, okay. And it was kind of one of those things where just sort of barely got in the door last minute.
You weren't even sure you were going to include it on the album?
Not even wow. sure we were going to cool. record it as a B-side kind of thing. And so, but yeah, it's one of those things where I think, you know, there's something to that as far as, like, we didn't overthink it, you know, that went in and did, I think we did, like, you know, a few takes of the vocal. I didn't overthink the lyrics. It was very, like, stream of consciousness kind of release, I think, that I didn't overthink, like, what's this about and what does it mean and what is going to – it's a little lyrically kind of, like, a little messy in a way that I really like. And yeah, just kind of came out the other side, and the minute that, you know, kind of – was sent out to, like, our, you know, all of us and our manager and a couple of people, and everyone was like, oh my God, this is really something special. And that was kind of the moment. I really didn't know before that.
So. Matt, what did you see in it, Matt, that you pushed him to finish it?
Yeah, I thought it was really catchy. I remember playing it really briefly, like, early on, just as an idea, and we recorded, like, a small demo of it, and we just, you know, we always had these little demos that we kind of listened to on our own, and I kept coming back up on my iTunes, like, at home and stuff, and I was like, that's so catchy. Got to do that one.
Is there there seems like there's a certain amount of confidence that you need to have in your ability to pick songs and write songs and weed out what's not good and kind of keep in what is good. Does that sort of – that kind of thing make you go, oh, maybe I'm I don't know as much as I thought I did.
Yeah,
because...
definitely. It's weird. I mean, if you're like watching a, you know, a documentary on a band or something, and someone says what I just said in there, like you're like, no, you knew, you had to have known that song is so different and better and all these things and the rest. But yeah, I think when you're in it, you sort of don't know. But then I definitely learned a lot from the song first, and you know, even in writing now, it's like, you know, there's something where it's like, oh, okay, this is what we do well. You know, we can do, like, we cannot be afraid, I think, of going to that place, whatever that means, you know, which I think that's part of the reason for initially, you know, some fear of the song. It's like, it's a pop song. It doesn't, you know, it's verse, chorus, bridge. It doesn't change chords. It's like, it really is going to that place and unafraid of it. And I think that's kind of where I'm moving in the writing. And that's, yeah, I don't know. I think that does come from just kind of the recognition of like, this is good. Don't be afraid of, you know, whether that old feeling of like, is it cheesy? Is it too much? Is it too emotional? Or is it too much of a, I don't know. You know, so it's just you. But
you're
I'm
allowing
not afraid
yourself
of that stuff.
To be vulnerable.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Or and even now, it's like, yeah, you have to be. Why wouldn't you be? You know. And I think mm-hmm. we've always been like a touring, you know, rock and roll band that you're used to being in a room full of guys working on a song, and if it's too forthcoming, if it's too like, you know, hitting it on the head, then you want to mess it up. And make it a little uglier, and so you find ways, I guess.
Right. That's what we do with this show. We mess it up, and we make it uglier.
Good at that, man. Good at that. Yeah. In our remaining moments with Nathan and Matt from Cold War Kids, I wanted to ask, you really blew up when that first episode of Quantico came out, and all your music was featured in there, and I'm wondering if increasingly these days, with revenue streams drying up in some areas, if you're more open to things like that, as, hey, if somebody wants to put me on a TV show, put me on a TV show. I'll cash the check.
Yeah, pretty open.
Yeah.
Very open.
But that was so cool, the way they used your songs in that episode. I mean, it was really like, it wasn't just on the radio in the background. I mean, you were a featured player on that episode.
I love it. Yeah, it's rad. I mean, there was definitely, we have existed in the moment where I think, you know, bands used to be much more discerning and skeptical and about their use of stuff. And now it's just like, open that door.
Yeah, things
because
used to be.
It's one of the only ways that you can make money.
Things used to be so much more snobby. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's too commercialized. You don't want to, but.
Well, I'll always remember there was a moment where somebody with us, there was like a shampoo commercial. It was a song for the first record. We used to vacation, sort of like a, you know, a song about an alcoholic father, all these sort of serious things. And then a shampoo commercial wanted to use the song. And this person kind of was like, people will never, you know, appreciate that song for what it is. It will be forever be distorted in their mind, you know. And it's like, I just don't think that's true anymore. I think whatever you can do to get your music out is valid, you know. I mean, with a few exceptions, but
and right. I think for the most part, if people like your song, they'll find out what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't just accept that's that song from that commercial.
Yeah, you know,
for the most part.
There was the Black Keys moment. They had like 5 songs in every Cadillac bank, every commercial in the whole world was like, this is fine. And I think every band was like, oh, really? Okay. I'm in. Yeah, yeah.
Well, whatever you guys are doing, the choices that you're making are working because Cold War Kids is very popular and we're very excited. We love that you've played the K-Rock shows for us. We appreciate that so much, you guys being there and putting on such great, great shows. And
thank you so much. We're so grateful. We're thrilled.
Yeah, and and we love the fact that you're, you know, you're a local band and I'm sure it's fun for you to be heard on K-Rock too, you know, so it's a win-win. And we're really nice to meet you guys. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Why did you do that, Kevin?
Right?
Can we say it now?
Yes!
Yeah, we can say it. So, Ralph, I don't know if you were listening to the Cold War Kids. Very nice young man. Really a lot of fun. And Kevin's talking to him about, you know what exactly what I'm going to say, right?
Panic at the Disco. Yes.
He's talking about Acoustic Christmas. He goes, Panic at the Disco came out. And they were just amazing.
They crushed it. Bohemian Rhapsody, and they're the most amazing band ever. And I'm like, who's going to follow those people up? There's no way I can follow them.
And then you guys came on, and you were perfectly fine.
You were just fine.
Perfectly fine.
You were not awful. You were
you were
lovely and acceptable in your performance.
What I meant was, if there was a weak band to come out next, it would have been shown even more weak because Panic at the Disco was so good.
Thank God they were perfectly fine.
You guys were fine, really. Yeah.
I mean, they...
You did not embarrass yourselves at all with your just...
They held their own with a great band that was before them. I may not have said that accurately.
No, in the sense that you didn't say it at all.
No, perfectly fine is very much considered a compliment,
what?
Kevin.
No higher praise can be given to a band, really, than you were perfectly fine tonight.
How dare you. I want you to try that the next time your wife spends a lot of time cooking a meal for you and asks how you like it. Be sure to answer, it's perfectly fine.
Because
she'll love it.
A lesser meal would really look bad compared to a great meal you had at a restaurant a week ago. But her meals, I'm sure, are perfectly fine. What would possess you to think that's okay to say to anyone ever?
Because what I meant was you have to be a great band to follow Panic at the Disco. That's all I meant. I said it poorly, but that's what I meant.
I hope they inferred that.
I do too.
How could they with Perfectly Fine?
How do you
take anything away from Perfectly Fine other than, wow, that guy thought we were just okay when we came out after that.
Well, we weren't good.
We didn't embarrass ourselves, but we weren't apparently as good or great even.
That was awesome.
I could have said that better.
No.
Hey, listen.
No, you could not.
Is it on you?
I'll take that.
Wait, that's your bad?
That's my bad.
Why, if that was your intention, why would you say, and then you guys came out and you were just as good. You crushed it.
That's exactly what I meant.
But that's not possible.
That's what I meant.
Given what you said, it's not possible what you meant.
That's exactly what I meant.
Anybody who meant to say that would say something else.
Most people would, maybe. But I chose different words. And maybe perfectly fine aren't the words that I should have used.
Real.
They
hey guys,
were great. Cold War Kids was great after them. That's all I meant. There was no drop in quality.
You didn't say any of that.
That's what I meant. Though.
Simple human communication.
Getting
a thought from what your head is to what she what they're saying.
What? You're not making any sense for me.
Hey, guys, I hate to break up the party, but it's still raining, Ben.
Kevin, the interview killer. It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah, it's raining, Ben. Amen.
Maybe that one first would have been better. And we got the Bachelor Report coming up with Petros Papadakis and our own Ralph Garman, who appeared last night on the network on ABC with The Bachelor Live after the two-hour Bachelor. We'll talk about all of that coming up after the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
There may be a new buyer for the Playboy Mansion.
All right.
Maybe Flint's out of the running. Because now another Hollywood heavyweight wants to buy the mansion and breathe new life into it. Jeff Beecher. That name sound familiar?
Oh, the madhouse guy.
That a-hole, right?
Wow. Yep.
So we're all thinking of the same guy.
You can talk to him, Bean, and then you guys can be the perfect team that you always are.
I think
that you're that a-hole that we talked to.
I think that I was on vacation.
Cool Boy Kids are perfectly fine.
I think that I was on vacation when he came in because I heard that it did not go well.
Really?
Yeah.
He was insufferable, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. He's a dick.
But he is very wealthy, and he's got a lot of nightclubs. He's got a gig in Vegas that does very well for
him.
I'm
sure he's perfectly fine.
He's perfectly fine. He and his partners are planning to offer $90 million to Playboy because they want to buy the property and turn it into a high-level, members-only club. Hmm. You'd have to be invited and pay a hefty membership fee, I'm sure, to join and carouse there at the mansion. Now, there's a couple problems.
Okay.
The idea. First of all, Playboy is still asking for $200 million.
That's what I was going to ask is what they wanted for it, $200.
Yeah, that was their asking.
Okay.
90 may come in a little under what they're willing to accept. Also, the home is a home.
Yeah, it's not a business.
It's not a business, and it's not zoned for an entertainment-themed venture.
Mm.
And there's neighbors that live in. It's a high-end community of people who spend a ton of money on their properties to live in relative peace and quiet.
They don't want to live next to the madhouse?
They don't probably want to live next to a place where midgets are throwing pies in each other's face or whatever happens in that event.
They didn't sign up to live in a carnival.
Right.
But I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine to live there when that's going on. I'm sure.
Ralph, why don't you just buy it? I bet Hef would give you a break.
You think he'd drop it to a 100 mil?
Yeah. Just for you. He's heir apparent.
Let me see what I got here in my pocket. I probably could scrape together 100 mil to drop on the property. I would treat that place right.
Yeah, you would.
I'd get a good steam cleaner in there first.
Sure,
before
first
I,
thing.
Before I took, and Hef would still be roaming the halls like a ghost. But other than that,
that's
be
the
awesome.
Weird part of that story.
Morning, Hef. Just tottering down to the kitchen to make some Ovaltine.
Why are you wearing the captain's hat again today?
My daughter's like, who's the old guy in the captain's hat? The slippers. That's Pop Hef, honey. Don't sit on his lap. No. Oh. Get off.
Well, no.
Maybe you shouldn't buy it then.
Don't know where that lap's been. I'm out of time already. I'm out of time.
Oh.
Ugh. This has been a perfectly fine show, Bisbee. Today's celebrity birthdays. You guys came out and you were perfectly fine.
You guys were so unbelievably adequate.
You were remarkably average in your performance, and I did not hate it at all.
It was so passable, you guys.
I only went for a beer halfway through your show. That's how perfectly fine it was.
I may have chosen some poor words on that one.
Nope.
That's on me.
You just get better, get better.
I'll take the responsibility.
After years and years of this profession, you just get better at it. It's remarkable.
Kevin knows how to call out a C-plus performance when he sees one.
He does not.
That is not what I was doing at all.
Miss an opportunity.
You know that.
How would we know that, given what you
well,
said
what
out
I
loud.
Said,
be us for a second. If we're listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Well, don't do that, first of all.
Shouldn't we just assume you're saying what you mean to say?
Have you met me?
Yes, okay. But...
We, so you know I'm a good person. I'm not going
to
sit there and say to them...
English language. That's all we have to go on.
I'm not going
to
say you're not very good. That's not... I would never say that
to
a band.
How much work do you want us to put into having to decipher what
in
you're really meaning?
In that particular moment, maybe more than usual.
I love you.
Oh, you're exhausting. Today's celebrity birthday is Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter, 63 years old today. I told you a story where I was at a wedding of a mutual friend, right? And Dog was there.
Yes.
In a sleeveless tuxedo.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty
strong. You heard me. In a tux with a cummerbund with his cuffs dangling off his,
no.
off his belt.
You never know.
No.
You never know when you need
with
it.
With no sleeves. Magic. Shakira's 39 and Gemma Arterton is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this all day long. The P is on the phone. It's time for the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570. Hey, P, how are you?
Hello, everybody. Greetings. Good morning.
You see your boy on TV last night?
Yeah. I actually watched that show for the first time, and I saw Ralph sitting there worshiping the false idol.
Wow, P, come on.
I'm not going to get all upset about it.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that I felt betrayed.
Listen, you know I would have rather been on there with you, but I don't think you're welcome on that
people?
Show.
Like, I knew the mean girl person, but the other two, who was the girl and who was the guy that looked like Jim Belushi?
It was Lacey Chabert, as you mentioned, from Mean Girls and Party of Five.
Well, I love her.
Her, too. She was adorable. Then
she played that violin in Party of Five.
Right. And there was Lee Bryce, who, winner of American Idol, who now has a successful country music career.
Oh, that's who he is.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw some idiot tweet like, oh, I love Lee Bryce. She has the most respectful song towards women. It's like, God, shut up.
Stupid respect.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and then it was me. I'm a romantic bastard.
Sure.
I like a toilet on a girl, you know what I'm saying? Like a behind, like Desiree.
We understand.
Yeah.
And then Michelle Collins was the lady next to me, a very funny lady, who's also one of the hosts of The View.
What? God, they're really moving them in and moving them out of The View these days.
Yes, they are.
All I'm saying is I watched, look, that's 2 hours of The Bachelor and then another hour for my friend Ralph.
Yes.
Right.
Who, you know, didn't invite me on the show or didn't retweet
anything
about
show.
Me.
Not my show.
or anybody say,
you
like,
insult
hey.
The host on a weekly basis.
Right. What do you want me to do? It's like bringing the guy to the cocktail party who you know is going to punch out the host.
Look, let me just say this. That show would have been better hosted by a man with bigger hands.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm directing that traffic.
All right. Well, let's...
All I'm saying, I watched the whole hour
right.
for Ralph, and it was not enough Ralph for me.
Well, thanks.
I agree with
complaint
that.
About the challenge that you have on some nights when Fred Rogan's trying to get off the air in a hurry so you can get ratings.
Well, let's talk about the episode last night. Was it the most dramatic episode ever, Ralph?
Pretty good
and pretty dramatic. I mean, it did end on a cliffhanger, as they say, so it was
I
very
don't
exciting.
Like that.
Yeah,
oh,
what
I
about the that. To be continued? You love it, Ralph?
I love that.
All right.
It's really about these two women that are coming undone. One of them's coming undone in a way that Ben does not see, who Ralph embraced so hard last night, like he just scored a touchdown when they brought Ben out there. Jeez, you hugged him hard, Ralph.
He's a good guy, then,
and for
Ben.
A long time.
He's a really good guy.
Did you feel the muscles in his back?
He's a strapping young man, and he's handsome, and he could not be nicer.
It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah. It's raining, Ben.
Yeah.
Amen.
So one of these ladies, Jubilee, is publicly falling apart, and Olivia is, like, just becoming more and more evil, like becoming more and more like looking like the Grinch or something. She in big mouth now.
Yes.
And, that's really the story. It was 2 hours of those two chicks freaking out and everything else was ancillary.
Although Jubilee is my least favorite kind of contestant on The Bachelor.
She's complex, Ralph.
She's not complex. She's an idiot. Because let me tell you what she said.
Her family is dead, Ralph.
I understand she has a tragic background.
She's
it's
an
still
orphan.
Inexcusable for her being so dense as to say the following thing while she's appearing on an episode of The Bachelor. Here's a clip.
There's nowhere else that I would want to be right now, but at the same time, it's hard. Just the fact that there's 11 girls here, and we're all dating the same guy. I'm just trying to deal with it all, you know?
Yeah.
Who
could have seen that coming?
How could you be so unclear on the premise of The Bachelor, which is a bunch of women date the same guy? It is,
he's
by definition...
honest.
She's just being honest.
She's
true.
Honestly an idiot. Because she's seen an episode. Maybe she could say, I don't know, maybe she has some level of self-awareness where she could say, this may not be for me. This may not be the type of dating situation that I would thrive in.
Orphans are complex people.
Oh, boy.
You think the guy that dated Little Orphan Annie had an easy time 10 years after the movie?
It's no, hard. Because she had no eyes. That was the weirdest part for him, I'm guessing.
Yeah, she just lost it. She became bitter towards Ben. Like, it's his fault.
Right.
You know, he's the bachelor and you're a contestant. At a certain point, you do have to play the game. And poor Jubes, she just couldn't do it.
And Olivia, she is delusional. She thinks stuff's going on that doesn't exist. And
really?
That's what makes it a little
but
scary.
You know what? It's going on. She keeps getting a rose from Captain Idiot from Indiana, Ben.
First of all, how dare you, sir? And secondly, yeah, she gets the roses. I can understand if she thinks that's an encouraging sign, but there's all this other stuff. Listen to this.
There's no doubt in my mind that I love Ben.
Already?
He doesn't validate people the way he validates me. I think our love language is reserved for us.
Yes.
She thinks there's a secret love language going on between the two of them.
She crazy.
Yeah, well, she created it, you know. And we've done this. I don't know if this happened to me once on a flight to Tucson. I created a whole relationship with a girl in the row across from me without speaking to her. And then it was completely devastating when she got off her plane and wrapped her legs around some frat boy on the tarmac.
Not you?
You're as crazy as Olivia.
It happens, you know, people. But I didn't sit there and give an interview about it. I just kept it to myself until this day.
Until right now.
Later.
Now, I loved the group date where all the girls had to make... They're in Mexico. They're down in Mexico City. And all the girls had to make a Mexican food dish.
Okay.
And then compete against each other to see who the best cook was. Because, you know, as they say in Mexico, a woman's not ready to marry until she knows how to cook.
Yeah,
sure.
A man's corazón is open through dinner.
Right.
Or comida.
Through his stomachio.
Or whatever.
Right. And JoJo, she thought she had this in the bag because she was tasked with making tacos and salsa.
Right.
So she knew she had a leg up.
I'm really excited for the chefs to taste my taco. Ben already tasted my taco, and he loved it. I know my taco's delicious. It's just a matter if the chef thinks so as well.
Who isn't eating her taco?
She is very liberal with her taco. A lot of people,
like it.
A lot of people have tasted her taco.
I get it.
enthusiastically, too, it sounds like.
No, I totally get it.
You sure? You sure you get it?
It's a euphemism for her private parts. It,
what?
Oh. How?
I would never, and I am offended that you would suggest that.
We are outraged.
Ben had to let Jubilee go because she was a nut bar.
Okay.
And I was surprised, though, the way he just cut her.
He did not. He gave her the nicest, sweetest, most gentle letdown in the history of dating. He could not have been more understanding and kind.
Like Bo Bergdahl. They just left her out there in Afghanistan to wander.
That is not the case at all. He took so much time to explain to her in detail, although she was a wonderful woman, and why things just weren't progressing enough for her to stick around. And she still didn't get it. Listen to this.
As hard as it is, and all of this, and I know it's not easy, and as incredible as like the moments have been with you, it would be unfair to you right now to say that, like, with what's happened and just kind of how things have progressed with other relationships, it would be unfair of me to tell you that I thought that something could exist.
So you don't.
So you're saying there's still a chance?
So what do you mean by that, then?
What? How does she not understand what that means?
She was confused by the entire process. I think it was fair to say that. But you know what? She didn't use like every other word like the rest of these chicks. She doesn't use incredible to describe every single thing that's happening, like Ben, the monosyllabic bachelor. I'm going to miss Jubilee. I'd like to see her back as the bachelorette.
It sounds like you have a little crush on Jubilee.
Nice. Does.
Nice. Hey, you know what? It's finally an African-American makes it out of the country, and we all call her stupid. I just can't believe it.
I don't think that's why we're calling her stupid.
Those are not related.
Oscar's so white.
And then Olivia started to show her true colors. I mean, all the girls are going up to Ben saying, Olivia's just not a good person. She's not. She's evil. She's being mean to us in the house. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when Amanda, who is divorced now, has two small girls at home.
What happened to Amanda, right, Ralph? That's a pro athlete story.
What?
You don't just live in Rancho Santa Margarita as a hot chick, get knocked up twice by a dude that leaves you and who actually marries you and just bones out. She was married to a pro athlete.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, it's the Angels.
One of the Angels.
Some punk-ass white guy reliever.
Well, he did do her dirty, as they say.
Oh, no.
And now she's stuck raising two kids. It's hard for her. She's away from her kids. And she's talking to some of the girls, just trying to, you know, unburden herself by talking about the arrangements of how she has to take care of her kids. And Olivia is less than sympathetic.
My mom said, like, this weekend, he'll just pick him up Friday after work. And then she'll pick him up Saturday, like, morning.
I feel like it's an episode of Teen Mom that I watch.
What was that?
I feel like it's an episode of Teen Mom, like... Well, you know that show, like...
Yeah, we all know the show, Olivia.
You know, because...
The reference, thank you.
You know that show with all those effed up girls who are not really good at managing their lives? I feel like it's that. Is that okay?
Yeah, the 14-year-olds with the obese husbands in somewhere in the middle America. My God, this is a girl from Rancho Santa Margarita. They would never put a girl in Rancho Santa Margarita on Teen Mom.
No, they would never. You're right.
It would be the Real Housewives of Orange County.
So Ben called her out and said, look, we need to have a conversation. And then, dun-dun-dun.
And that's when it said, to be continued?
To be continued. Oh. We don't know. Is he going to take her rose away? Is he going to send her home? What's going to happen? Is he going to, as I suggest last night, shoot her out of a cannon and send her out of Mexico? We'll have to wait and see.
I would love to see her shot out of a cannon.
Me too. Wouldn't that be awesome? A big circus cannon.
We'd have to wait till Cinco de Mayo.
Bit of a wait, but thank you, Pete. We appreciate your time today.
Yeah, well, thanks for betraying me last night like Judas for your 30 pieces of silver.
I wonder why I can't bring you on that show when you're belittling the host and saying that it's racist.
I will not kiss thee as did Judas, but as the thief I will confess thee. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you
don't have to watch. Hey, we want to send you to go see Coldplay. They're playing the Rose Bowl in August and also get you eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band one more time in Rio de Janeiro. It is destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016. Your chance to win coming up in just a few minutes. Ralph brought up an interesting topic the other day off the air that we wanted to make time for today because it is sugar babies. You know, one of the things you've been hearing a lot about, particularly since we're in an election year right now, is that so many college students are graduating and they find themselves in crippling debt.
Tough job market for some. Tough to pay back that money. They end up sometimes being in debt for decades as a result of the money that they spend to go to college. But there is another way, and that other way, pay attention, ladies, is being a sugar baby. Being a sugar baby is a thing. A lot of stories on this lately. There's a website called SeekingArrangement.com, and they have released their annual ranking of the fastest-growing sugar baby schools. Now, sugar babies, as you might imagine, are young women who enjoy the company of older men's money. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I was going to say not enjoys until you got to the word money. And then
enjoys,
yes.
The cut. Right. So they get out of college debt-free, and then there's a sugar daddy who gets all of the benefits involved with a college-age woman. New York University, by the way, has the number of the largest number of new signups to SeekingArrangement.com. 225 students at New York University have signed up, they say, at SeekingArrangement.com to find a sugar daddy to pay for their college education. Does that seem like a lot to you guys at one school?
It's a huge school and very expensive.
Okay.
So it makes sense then?
So no.
Arizona State University, number two, with almost 200. Then the University of Texas in Austin. And then it just goes down onto the list from you know, people who are signing up for this. So they did a story on – and the reason we're bringing this up is we want to talk to sugar daddies and sugar babies. That's what we're looking for here today. If you are in an arrangement like this, you can stay anonymous. We want to find out how it works for you guys and if you guys like it. But there was a story not long ago on Nightline where they talked about and they interviewed a couple in this relationship. I thought it was pretty interesting.
I love them. Well,
yeah, they look great.
They're fun.
Yeah, they are.
Thank you for them.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
They refer to each other as sugar daddy and sugar baby. When she needs money, Tommy's her go-to guy. And for Monty, it's a way to get the education she can't afford.
Oh, my God.
She meant, like, puppies, right? He bought her puppies?
Sure. Okay. That's what he bought her.
He's like, I can help you get through school easy. And you just travel with me, have fun, be around me, and just keep me company. And I said, sure, you're going to pay for my school?
And a small price to pay for what he gets.
When you walk into a room and you have a beautiful woman with you, it's a compliment to you as a male. It's like pulling up in a really nice car or something, you know. Hate to compare that way, but it is. It has a good feel to it.
So Monty's like a really nice car.
Yeah.
For Monty, the relationship is a stepping stone into the world.
He taught me how to golf, cook, be a classy woman.
Nope.
He's just transferred me fast into something that I've always wanted to become.
If there were no sex involved with Monty or your other sugar babies, would you still bring them around for companionship and still give them money?
No.
At least he was honest.
Okay, so we're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a sugar daddy or a sugar baby, we want to hear from you. But
Or were.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. But let's talk about it. So what are your thoughts, guys, when you hear about this? This is consensual adults who both win in this arrangement. Do you have a problem with it?
No.
No.
I mean, honestly, I don't
have a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And look, a 21-year-old woman, a 20-year-old woman, I think has the right to make that decision if that's something she's comfortable with and wants to do. What business is it of mine if that's how she wants to pay through to get herself through college? How does it affect me? I don't think there's a moral issue involved here.
These are mutually consenting adults.
Consenting adults.
Zero problem with it. I wish that a woman would know her worth and maybe get a job other than this, because this dude sounds like a despicable douchebag.
Well, he did, but she also sounded like an idiot.
She's not the brightest. He's teaching her how to cook and be classy. But, you know, sometimes that's not in the cards. And you want to better yourself and get that education? Fine.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it either, but I'm sure that there are a lot of people who would look down their nose at it, and I'm sure that there are a lot of, particularly the women in these relationships, who would not want to volunteer that information to people. They would not want to share that that's the decision that they're making. But I think it'd be interesting to hear what it's like to be on the inside of that relationship, either now or in the past, at 1-800-520-1067. Do you want to take a call real quick before the break?
Sure.
Let's try Travis, which is not what we were expecting in Rancho Cucamonga. Travis is calling us. He was the sugar baby in this case. Is that right, Travis? You had an older woman who was paying your expenses.
Yes, that is true. Good morning, Kevin Bean, Allie.
Hi there.
So this was about 3 years ago. I came across it, not even through the website. I had heard of the website because I have a couple friends who are sugar babies. Mm-hmm. But I was volunteering for a bingo establishment, and I met this woman.
How old is this woman?
Because bingo equals 70.
Travis!
No. She wasn't even that old. She was in her late 40s, maybe 48, 49.
Oh. She's just playing bingo?
By the way, in guy code, that means she was 68, 69.
And how old were you, Travis?
I plead the fifth. But she, very intelligent, very attractive.
Uh-huh.
We met outside of bingo, and then she approached me with the offer because I was talking to her about the fact that I was going to college, and I didn't know what I was going to do about a lot of the mm-hmm. debt that I was having.
What did she say when she approached you about that?
She said, to put it bluntly, she said, I like you. I know that you're attracted to me, so I'm willing to help pay you if we can start seeing each other more regularly. Because, but she wanted it to be kept discreet because she had a husband at the time.
Okay, because my first thought was, well, why didn't she just date you if you guys were attracted to each other? But now we know why. It had to be on the sly because she was married. So
yeah.
Was it just you guys would meet on regular intervals for sex and she would pay you? Was it as cutthroat as that? Or was it more of a relationship where you saw each other socially as well?
It was a little bit of both, actually. We saw each other, I would say, about once a week where we actually had sex. But then the rest of the time, we saw each other about three or four times a week. And the majority of the time, it was hanging out at Starbucks, going out for dinner, going to the movies. It was actually a lot more like a relationship. It's just that at the end of the week, I got, say, about $5,000 in an allowance.
Holy crap. Wow. But what's her number?
The sad part of that story, though, is that about a month into it, her husband caught on, and basically all communication was cut off, so I never heard from her again.
But it's all right, because she died from natural causes like a week later.
Oh, Kevin, she's that old. Come on. So were you looking around after that? I mean, when that money dries up, you miss that. Were you looking for a similar situation?
Did you go back to the bingo hall?
I will admit I signed up on that website because you are able to sign up as a male sugar baby, but after a while I just lost interest because the thing that drew me into this woman was that she was actually, I was genuinely attracted to her. And so a lot of the women that were hitting me up on this site, they weren't my type, I guess you could say. And
right.
I'm not so shallow that I'm just going to forfeit what I'm attracted to for a price tag.
Oh, you will. You will.
I mean, give me enough money and yeah. But
of course, yeah.
It wasn't enough money. It was like $500 a week. And I was just like, eh.
Listen, Travis, send me your picture, and we'll see if we can work something out.
Exactly. Something out.
All right, Travis, you are
you, Travis.
Awesome for listening, and we very much appreciate your call and your story, sir. Thanks so much. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Talking to sugar daddies and sugar babies next on K-Rock.
I was a little worried that we might not get enough phone calls.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of sugar babies out there talking about SeekingArrangement.com says that thousands of young women are graduating college with no bills left to pay because they are sugar babies. They get the financial stability. They get to date experienced men who leave the dating games alone. They get valuable guidance and long-term stability. They are pampered and indulged in shopping sprees, expensive dinners, and exotic travels. That's a pretty good way to go through college right there, ladies. Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start in Long Beach. Go to Jen. She's on line one. As you know, all Jennifers are hot, so I am very excited to hear about her experience as a sugar baby. Jen, thanks for calling. Thank you for holding on.
Hi.
So, how did you meet your sugar daddy?
Through the site. I was coming out of like my first relationship. We were together for like 7 years, so I was like not looking for anything serious. And I went on the site and I found somebody.
And you went on the site just because it was as simple as you thought, I'm young, I'm pretty, I don't want to be $100,000 in debt when I get out of college. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I had a friend who was on it, and she like met her husband that way. And
right.
So I wasn't looking for a husband, but I was just looking for something sort of fun. And lucrative at the same time.
and how long did it last, and how often did you guys get together to have sex?
It lasted 6 years, actually.
Wow.
And, yeah, he was super sweet and super kind and respectful, and I think I lucked out. But we usually got together, like, once or twice a week.
Okay, and how did it end? Did it end when you graduated?
No, I met somebody else. I mean, I was still sort of dating, but it wasn't something that I advertised while
gotcha.
I was dating.
Okay.
Did B never make you say sugar daddy likey?
I'm not sure I was involved here.
No.
Come
right.
on.
I could talk to Jen all day first.
So, Jen, you would recommend this to other young women?
I mean, you know, if it's not something that you have a problem with, then why not?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. All right. We're not going to have time for as many of these calls as I like. Who do you want to go to? Who do you like?
Older woman. He worked sugar daddy 8 years ago. I don't know. What difference does it make? They're all the same.
Let's talk to Rachel.
Still a sugar baby.
Line 5 in Irvine. She is a sugar baby right now in college. Let's see how she likes it.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Welcome to Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are good.
How's it going?
My life kind of took a turn for the crazy recently, so I actually need to get back in contact with my sugar daddy because it ended, but it's been great because, you know, I'm debt-free in school and enjoying life, but it's one of those things where I did meet them through the site as well, and my friend turned me on to it while I was working with her, and she was enjoying it, and she kind of, you know, took me through the ropes because, you know, it was my first time. I never really been in even relationships, I would say, like, normally. So I just, you know, I needed financial help, and I was looking for companionship as well. And I kind of lucked out, too. Like, Jen, I found a really great guy. He's, like, a life coach, and it was kind of crazy because, you know, I don't know. It's a little obviously scary going into this type of situation. But, you know, I think he honestly is a really great guy. And I definitely lucked out. How much
money are we talking about here, Rachel? What's the pay like to be a sugar baby?
It's not really so much as pay as you tell them what you need help with. Because it's not really like it's not like prostitution where you're compensation in exchange type of thing. It's like, they're looking for companionship, and you're looking for companionship.
So, in other words, you call him when your car breaks down and say, hey, I need $800 to get my car fixed, and he helps you out.
I don't know that I would be as blunt. I would definitely let him know my situation, and he is always more than willing to help me, and I'm just, you know, kind of blessed in that way that he was able to accommodate me and help me.
All right, we got you, Rachel. Thank you very much. Dear Kevin and Bean, Omar writes in, my best friend who is straight has been a sugar baby to gay men since he was 18. He's almost 31 now. He hasn't worked a day in his life. He's got a great home in Huntington Beach, a nice car, which are maintained by his sugar daddies. I don't know what he's going to do when it's over because he has zero work experience. This has been his job since he was 18.
I got news for you, Omar.
All right, let's close with our friend Nick in South Pasadena. We always like hearing from Nick. He's on line 3. He'll have the final word on sugar daddies. Hey, Nick.
I've been listening, you guys, and I got to clear some things up. First of all, let me just tell you, I was on Match.com, and I was dating this girl from USC, like, you know, winked at me or whatever, and we went out to Delmonico's for a lobster dinner, the first dinner that we had. I like lobster. At the end of the meal, I'm like, are you good? You want anything else? You all good? And she's like, well, I'll have a lobster bisque to go. And I'm like, what? This is weird. So what happened was, you know, from there, it wasn't like, you know, I ended up paying her way through USC, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it was, you know, it was a relationship that was understood by both parties. But what I'm hearing is like, oh, this is not like prostitution. Yes, this is exactly what prostitution is like.
Right.
And, you know, if you're a sugar daddy, you're, you know, paying for that. And there is companionship and it is a relationship. But it's what they call, you know, a meretricious relationship.
Whoa,
and,
Nick.
You know, if you don't.
if you, yeah,
good word.
And then if you don't want to, you know, be labeled a whoa or whatever, then don't label it that.
But I just, I don't think it's that much different from dating. It's everything that is involved in dating: the companionship, the sex, the money, except perhaps without the love. Is that the worst thing in the world?
Yeah, no, and people don't understand, you know, the people who don't get with prostitutes don't understand that you're not paying for sex. You're paying for being able to leave after the sex.
Right.
Wrong a little bit, because when you have this relationship, you can be like, I need you here at this time. And they understand, man, you know, your USC scholarship's on the line. You got to be there.
Okay.
So there is that kind of boss, you know, mentality, and I'm all for it. You know, I fully endorse it. I think everyone should, you know,
do it. We got to go. Lobster bisque to go for everyone. Thank you.
Love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes till 9.
Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we need you on the phone to win tickets to go see Coldplay. They're playing the Rose Bowl on August 20th. Coldplay, by the way, one of the biggest bands in the world now.
Right?
Yep.
Playing the Super Bowl this weekend, playing the Rose Bowl on August 20th. They're also going to be playing in Rio later in the year. We want you to qualify for that by calling us right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn the tickets. We'll play a game for Coldplay at the Rose Bowl coming up just after 9. Time now for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Couple things. First, I want to apologize for the past 2 days.
Okay.
We've been saying that Lee Bryce, country music star Lee Bryce, was a contestant on American Idol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That never happened.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
So we probably didn't win it either then.
No.
Okay.
I thought he did.
Not only did he not win, Allie.
No.
He's never been on.
That's concerning.
Are you kidding me?
Never been on any
Well, where
sort
do
of
we know him
reality
from?
Reality competition. Because he's a hugely successful selling country artist.
Well, how
because
did he
of American
that?
Idol.
No, it turns out not because of American Idol, because he was never on American
but
Idol.
But what season did he win?
He didn't win any season because he's never been on that program. See, here's what happens when you listen to Bean.
Yeah.
You end up just lying. You become a lying liar who lies.
You know what Bean's thinking of?
Who am I thinking of?
Bo Bice.
And Lee DeWeiss.
And Lee DeWeiss.
Who is another, I think, American Idol winner.
And Sugar and Spice and other things that rhyme
sure.
with this guy's name that,
well,
that aren't him.
I think you're thinking of Bo Bice, though. He was on Idol, right?
If I, and there was another guy named Lee DeWeiss, too.
Hit for Garth Brooks. I mean, he's been a songwriter for a decade, and he's just wildly successful on his own merit. And
but which season did he win?
Here was my whole point about bringing this up. No season.
Oh,
he didn't win any season.
Never a season, never on the show. Never, not once.
Well, then I must
ever.
Have been confused then.
Do you think?
Is this
you think
you?
Maybe?
That
this
sounds
one
like,
could be on you?
That sounds like it might be on me.
Wow, it's been a long time to get to this point.
I thought he was perfectly fine, but I apologize.
Oh, don't try to spin it now.
Well, I'm really sorry. I think it was Lee DeWeiss and Bo Bice, maybe. I was thinking of Allie. I think it was a combination of those two, and my mind just became Lee Bryce. Because I haven't watched, like, the last 10 seasons of American Idol. So
then
I
maybe don't offer up information about American
but
Idol.
But that name just sounded right to me, though.
Did it just sound right to
and
you?
And it did to you, too, right? Lee
no,
Bryce, American Idol, sounded right to you.
We knew him. He won American Idol. I was like, well, Bean.
You would think usually knows that
yeah,
he's
don't
watch
he's
the
not.
Show.
If he's going to state a fact... Bean, you assume, would know the fact he's
stating. Well, I certainly try not to be wrong.
How'd that go?
Not well this time, I'll tell you that.
And instead of trying not to be wrong, try to be right next time when you're offering
Bean
up information.
Bean's a dick! Bean's a dick!
All right, so this has been a very, this has been a teachable moment, Ralph. Thank you for
like
that.
I feel like an ass.
Thank
Michelle
you for sure.
Collins on The Chew, not The View.
No, she's on The View.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, Lee DeWeiss won in 2010.
No, we don't care. I don't care about Lee DeWeiss.
These people that
I wasn't
him.
On.
But that's who
Bachelor
I'm thinking. That's who I was thinking of was Lee DeWeiss.
Right, but were you right or wrong?
No, I was dead wrong. But
shut
I,
the F up.
I tried to explain why I was wrong. No,
that doesn't help me. Why you were wrong?
All right.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
Oh, that's a great. That's a great question.
Is that I was on the show with the guy last night, and for the past 2 days on this program, I've been saying wrong biographical information about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and I feel like a douche.
Well, I do too, and I apologize. I'm sorry for that. And the Michelle
Collins
lady, we're right about that. She is on The View.
Yes,
that is correct. Okay.
Yeah,
because I felt like we were guessing on that one too.
No, we weren't guessing on that one.
We do good work.
We do.
Unbelievable. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Bean, does it bother you when people say Groundhog's Day versus
yes,
Groundhog
very,
Day?
Very much.
Of course.
It's only Groundhog.
It hasn't come up today, but I was seeing it all over the Twitter and whatnot, people saying, hey, it's Groundhog's Day. I wonder if, you know, he's going to see a shadow. Happy Groundhog's Day. I've just been seeing that.
It's absurd.
I feel like they're interchangeable. Well, they're not, though, because what is right and what is wrong?
You know what? It's not absurd.
It is absurd.
It's not absurd at all.
It's Groundhog Day. Let it be Groundhog
but it
Day.
Could be. If you said it was Groundhog's Day, it would...
Yeah, right,
it
but would, it's not.
It wouldn't change
and if you,
it
and
at
you,
all.
And if you said you bank at the Banks of America, people would understand what you meant, too, but it's not called the Banks
but
of America.
Do
that's incorrect.
Use it interchangeably.
Right, incorrectly, yes. It's Groundhog Day. I don't know why you had to bring that up.
I don't either.
Well, because I hadn't heard it all day, and I thought for sure if it was a bone of contention, we would have heard about it early on. It just seems like strongly worded letters would have been quoted and read, and there would have been a list of people who received them today.
I try to avoid everything having to do with Groundhog Day. Look, I can't fight all the battles, okay?
That's
true. You're doing your part, though, Bean.
Thank you.
Fight the important ones.
Not fighting Lee Bice's battle either, apparently. He's being left out there. Black Hawk down. Just amongst the wreckage. Leaving him behind.
I love that the entire showbiz beat is just corrections at this point.
Well, that's how it is. Why didn't you give us a shout-out on your television program? Well, maybe there's reasons. Maybe now we know why.
Embarrassment?
Today's celebrity birthdays... Dwayne Dog Chapman.
Now, he was on American Idol.
Yes, he won season 7.
All right.
He did Bohemian Rhapsody, I believe, for his big closing number. He's 63 years old today. Shakira, 39 years old. She is adorable.
She sure is.
Talented and charming and beautiful.
Yes, she is.
But, Kevin, you always point out that she is technically a little person.
Oh, she's a midget, yeah.
She's not.
Oh, yeah.
She's just diminutive.
She's
petite.
What's the actual limit? Is it like 4'11"? Because I think she's right there.
Yeah, I think
pretty
it's about
close.
That.
We'll look it up. We'll get back to you next show biz when we take it back.
We'll do another correction.
Shakira is both Chip and my height. She is 5'2".
No.
Yeah.
She doesn't look that tall.
Yeah.
Kevin?
All right. I apologize. I thought she was smaller than she was. I was wrong. She wasn't on American Idol.
Do we know anything about anyone?
No, we don't.
But we never have before, Ralph. Why start now?
Do you know how to say Gemma Arterton's name?
No.
Actress Gemma Arterton?
No, I don't.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Gemma Arterton is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. It's all about Coldplay. Huge year for them in 2016, including Rio de Janeiro. They're going to be there, and you can, too, if you win the grand prize drawing we do Monday. We'll get you qualified for that right now by giving you tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl on August 20th with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to see Coldplay.
All right, this game is called Total Recall. This is where we give you a category, and all you have to do is come up with five of the things in that category in 10 seconds. It's a lot harder than it sounds, isn't it?
Yeah, the 10-second part is what really throws you, because you can think of two or three immediately, but then the time comes so fast.
Pressure is on, and if you're right, you go into the drawing, and then someone will win the tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up, we have Nicole from Long Beach. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hey, Nicole, and you are a sugar baby? Someone paid to send you through college?
No, this is a
different,
contest.
Different segment.
Oh, I'm
different.
Sorry. All right, we moved on. Okay. All right, Nicole, last year, pardon me, Coldplay surprised their fans with an electronic dance music collaboration with Avicii called Sky Full of Stars. I'm sure you've heard it, a very popular song here, Kara. In 10 seconds, I want you to name for me five other British bands who are big stars, five other bands from Britain who are big stars in 10 seconds. Good luck.
And they have to be bands, not like singers?
Yes, bands from Britain.
All right, so I'm going to do One Direction. You've got Adele. Okay.
Goes by fast, doesn't it? Could have been everybody from Muse to Radiohead, Oasis, the Spice Girls. There's a million of them. I'm sorry you didn't win, but thank you for playing anyway.
Thank you, Nicole. All right, let's go to Nicole in Fontana. Hi there.
Hi.
Ali, you sounded surprised that the Beatles weren't the first one that came to mind.
The Beatles, sure.
British bands, sure. Yeah. All right, Nicole, you are up next on the same album from Coldplay last year. They enjoyed success with another song called Magic. And who doesn't enjoy a good magician, right? You've got 10 seconds on the clock to name any five famous magicians. Five famous magicians. Here's a hint. If you name magicians that work as partners, that's 2 points right there. So good luck. Famous magicians in 10 seconds. Go.
Penn and Teller.
Others.
Aww, you're Kevin's people.
Who comes to mind for you, Allie?
I'd say Chris Angel or David Blaine.
David Blaine, David Copperfield, Siegfried and Roy. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Thank you for playing anyway. Sorry you didn't win.
All right. Let's go to Aurora in Whittier. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Aurora. That's a beautiful name. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
All right. We're talking about Coldplay tickets at the Rose Bowl. The band burst onto the scene back in the year 2000 with their worldwide hit called Yellow. Aurora, in 10 seconds, can you name for me five things that are yellow? Five things that are yellow in 10 seconds. Good luck.
A banana, a Tweety Bird, the sun, goldfish,
lemons, corn, minions.
No.
Rubber duckies. Post-it notes, taxis, I'm sorry. Wow, 0-3 so far, you guys. It's a tough game.
All right, let's go to Brady and Marina Del Rey. Hey, hi, Brady.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brady. How have you been doing listening on hold? It's a tough game here today.
I'm just waiting to lose, I guess.
All right, okay. Good. All right, well, I hope you don't.
You're an optimist.
That's a spirit.
All right, we were talking about the song Yellow from Coldplay's debut album, which was called Parachutes, and that got me to thinking about other things that you might see in the sky. Can you name me five other things besides parachutes that you might see when you look up into the sky? Good luck.
Airplanes, birds, the sun, the moon, and clouds.
Yes! Nice. How about that? Well done.
Yeah.
All right. He is in the drawing. Shall we do one more, get him some competition?
Sure. Let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, Chris, you're our final contestant. We'll see if we can win you those tickets for the show at the Rose Bowl. Coldplay's song, The Scientist, was a big record for them back in 2002. That's the one that goes, nobody said it was easy. You know that one. Well,
one more time?
Let's see how easy it is for you to name for me any five famous scientists in 10 seconds. Can you name five famous scientists in 10 seconds? Good luck.
He buzzed himself.
Really?
I
Nobody
agree.
Comes to mind?
That would be the hardest one.
Albert Einstein, Stephen Hawking, Galileo, Isaac Newton. Neil deGrasse Tyson. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Kevin would have nailed this category.
I really would have destroyed you.
All right. Kevin.
Well, thank you for playing anyway. So is it
Brady or Brady?
All right. Someone's going to win tickets to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl and is eligible for the grand prize drawing Friday to see them Destination Number 3 of the World Tour 2016 in Rio de Janeiro. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The guy with the greatest name, Brady.
Brady.
Yeah.
Well done. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah! Donald Recall.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Nine.
I'm just going to Max Katie the rest of the show.
I know that reference. That's from that movie with that guy, right?
It sure is.
Same.
Right?
It's from that same
season. Robert De Niro.
Same season Lee Bryce won the
That's right.
American Idol. That's what I heard, yeah. All right. Hey, Ralph is here, and let's bring it on to the air now and talk about our final look at the showbiz for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Well, I have to go.
You have to go.
And maybe never come back.
Oh. Right now?
Because of the whole day, first of all. But now in the office, our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, won't stop talking about Uber puppies.
Yeah, he's crazy obsessed with that.
Uber puppies.
Don't we live in a world where there's already Uber and there's already puppies?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Then why is this the most important day in the history of the world for him?
Because tomorrow Uber and Planet Animal are teaming up to bring puppies around so you can see puppies. Because they're talking about the Uber Puppy Bowl. You see,
what's up?
The Puppy Bowl is going to be on Animal Planet during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So to promote that, they're bringing puppies to you.
I like puppies.
You can meet someone from Team Ruff.
Nope.
Or Team Fluff.
Nope.
I'd go for Team Fluff, personally.
Sure you would.
It's just a $30 puppy playtime fee for the best 15 minutes of your day.
So you call Uber, but instead of needing a ride, they pull up
they
and
bring you a puppy.
Jump out with a puppy.
Right. And then you're able to adopt these dogs because they're all adoptable from a shelter?
I do not know the answer to
that. Yeah, the
answer
is no. Okay. So maybe.
But Uber will turn around and support participating shelters and rescues. So they'll donate, I guess, some of the money
to you. Can actually adopt the puppies they bring.
I thought you said the puppies were from the show that you're going to be watching.
The Puppy Bowl.
No one said that.
So they're not from Team Ruff or Team Fluff?
Those are the teams they're breaking them up to that they're bringing. So they're just saying they are, but they're not really. Those puppies are up for adoption.
Well, I don't believe
Get
any
your
of this.
Facts
press. Well, the press release should maybe be a little clearer.
Hush, you.
Here's the problem.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
That is part of the problem for sure.
I like puppies.
The biggest problem is he keeps going on and on about Uber puppies.
Yeah.
And I was going to have puppies brought to him.
Yeah.
He's got a dog of his own, by the way.
Right. He does.
If you want to play with a dog, go home and play with that dog.
Right.
You don't need to put a dog in a car and have it brought to you like you're the Sultan of Brunei.
Puppies at the office are the best thing ever.
Bring me a puppy. Have it bathed and oiled and brought to my tent. Bring me puppies. I am in the mood for puppies all over my body. You smother me in puppies. Give me a puppy smother.
This is the world I'm living in, people.
Wow.
And they say, Ralph, why do you drink? How do I ever stop drinking should be the question.
What's up?
Right?
I like puppies.
So it's $30 for 15 minutes with this puppy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really? I need more details from you now?
They're the same ones that you already said, by the way. She's repeating.
Yeah.
So you're saying for 15 minutes, it costs $30.
Wait a minute. The pajamas, you can wear them to a business meeting? All right.
In many cases, the puppies will be available.
I will drop you. I have never punched a woman before, but I am willing to let a new thing happen right here, right now.
That will not make the highlights.
I like puppies.
Speaking of Super Bowl, this is a thing that we need to get behind.
Okay.
Comedians Key and Peele.
Yep.
Are going to provide commentary for Super Bowl 50.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Where?
In a partnership with Squarespace, they have come up with two new characters. Their names are Lee and Morris, and they will do live play-by-play that will make you laugh out loud. So I'm guessing squarespace.com, I want to say. Probably go there and maybe see it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love everything they do. We talked about this, but the trailer for Keanu.
Oh, so good.
That looks so fun.
It looks amazing. Anyway, so Key and Peele doing a super weird live Super Bowl commentary that, as the article says, we didn't even know we needed until just now. Now we know we need it, so that's good news. Congratulations to Adele. Can't keep a good girl down. She was out of the top slot of the Billboard 200 albums chart for 2 weeks, but boom, back to number one. Gave Bieber the boot. See ya, Biebs. Kicked him to the curb. If number two is the curb, that's where he is now. But Adele's 25 is back at the top of the charts again.
So nasty ass bitch.
No, she's not. She is lovely and wonderful.
How dare you?
Was that Harvey?
No.
Offensive.
It really is. Speaking of offensive, Bean, thanks for the segue. Phil Anselmo.
Phil Anselmo.
Right. Former Pantera singer.
Okay.
Had to apologize for his appearance at Dime Bash last week. Dime Bash is the tribute, which is a festival the festival, which is a tribute to the late Pantera guitarist Dimebag Darrell. And so Phil Anselmo was there performing, and apparently some of the fans, Pantera fans, got their noses out of joint a little bit as he was on top, as he was on the stage, screaming "White Power" at the top of his lungs and giving the Heil Hitler salute.
What?
Yeah, some people took offense to that. Come on, people, lighten up. If we can't scream "White Power" and then do the Sieg Heil hand up in the air, I mean, come on, right? Where's your sense of humor? What's funnier?
The Germans always make good stuff.
Right, the Germans always make good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Ugh. Phil had to apologize. He issued a video apology on Saturday, saying, "I don't want to be part of any group."
What?
It's not quite an apology. I don't even want to be a Nazi. I'm an individual,
right.
And I am 1,000% apologetic to anyone that took offense to what I said, because you should have taken offense to what I said, and I am so sorry, and I hope you just, man, give me another chance to, just give me another chance. I love all of you, he said in the video.
Wow.
Then he just goose-stepped his way.
Why are you so white?
Good question. And lastly, in music news, the Grammys have announced they are going to pay tribute to musical legend David Bowie at the Grammy Awards on February the 15th on CBS. That's nice. They're going to honor him. Current nominee Lady Gaga apparently will be on hand to pay tribute to one of her musical influences. And the tribute's going to be what they're calling a multi-sensory testament to his artistry. So I'm guessing we'll see video clips and audio and maybe a live performance or two. But
this is Ground Control to Major Tom.
Oh, yeah, bring out the Shat.
You've really made the grade.
You've really made the grade.
And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear.
You wear.
Come on, I'd be all about that.
Oh, I would just, I want to see the whole album, Ziggy Stardust, done by.
Agreed.
Shat. Hey, man. Wham, bam. Thank you, man. Suffragette. City. Play it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Doug. Nope. Dog.
That was the first name.
Dog.
Dog.
Chapman. Dwayne the Dog Chapman, the bounty hunter, is 63 years old today. Shakira is 39. And actress Gemma, well, I mean, I could say her name, but Kevin, why don't you take it?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves. Gemma ordered. I can't say your last
name. Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How cute is she, by the way? Give it another go.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Give it another go. German Arbiton.
I think she felt sorry
German,
for me.
Gemini Tarpiton.
Speaking of adorable British ladies, why does Dave spend all of his time worrying about Uber puppies and no time getting us Haley Atwell on the program?
I love Agent Carter so much, and I love her even more so.
Into the second season now, I feel like we've been asking since before the thing went on the air, what's it going to take to make that interview happen?
Maybe we need to staple a puppy to her.
And maybe
put her in an Uber car.
That would help.
I think
we will pay $30 to get her in here for 15 minutes of interview, if that's what it takes,
yes,
Dave. But make it happen. We want to talk to Agent Carter. Plus, she's in Los Angeles now. We should be able to get her. What's up?
You know she was always in Los Angeles, right?
You know what I mean.
No.
You mean she's in Los Angeles?
Because
even when the series took place in New York, she was still in Los Angeles.
I know. The point is, we need to have her on the show.
I don't think you know.
Make it happen,
Dave.
I think
you're confused.
We need a producer.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on the new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Matt Money Smith talking Super Bowl. We have Paul F. Tompkins, comedian, in studio with us. We have Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. And from the New York Jets, we have Brandon Marshall also talking about the Super Bowl tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.